staff.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, let's reconvene here to open session and have the roll call, please.
Director Sanya?
Here.
Director Storm?
Here.
Director Tarnowski?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski?
President.
President Wright?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll now have the report out of a closed session, and Mr. Seitz.
Yes, President Wright, members of the board, staff, and audience. The board did go into closed session at approximately 6 p.m. this evening. It went under three separate government code sections. First, under existing litigation pursuant to government code section 54956.9D1, we discussed the bankruptcy and no specific direction was given in that. And in regards to the groundwater adjudication, the board heard a report but took no reportable action. Under government code section 54956.9B, under anticipated litigation, the board heard a report in regards to three separate matters that are potential litigation. They heard the report but took no reportable action. And finally, in regards to the real estate matters, they did, pursuant to government code section 54956.8, they did hear a report from our real property negotiator and gave direction to the real property negotiator, but took no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seitz. Okay, number seven is a presentation and public hearing. We have the League of Women Voters Stability Project report. General Manager Kibley, will you introduce it, please?
Yes. The item before you this evening is being presented by the League of Women Voters, and this is their presentation on is what is civil discourse. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the League and let them proceed. Thank you. Yes.
Good evening. Thank you so much for inviting us. We're delighted to be here. This is only the second CSD who has invited us, but I'm sure once you hear our wonderful message, the word will get out and the others will join in. The other one that invited us was Oceano. And we have since given our message to five of the seven cities. We will do Morro Bay next week. Board of Supervisors, and many other governmental organizations. My name is Marguerite Bader. I am the president of the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County. And our league was formed 53 years ago locally by women who were married to men who worked at Cal Poly. And in those days, 1962, women stayed at home for the most part and raised their children and didn't work outside the home. And they wanted to do something very interesting. They formed the league, and they found it very interesting. The National League of Women Voters is celebrating 95 years this year. So in 5 years, there'll be a big centennial celebration for the League of Women Voters, which grew out of the women's suffrage movement and much suffering on the part of the women who tried to get it going. We do not support or oppose any candidate or political party, but we do take stands on issues, and we do advocate for those. We chose to do civil discourse because, for many, many reasons, but most of 60% of the American population in a poll said that they feel that there is a major problem with civility in the United States. Just major. And not just in politics, in many, many other areas. Our concern is, our motto is making democracy work. So anytime civility impinges on making democracy work, we become very concerned. And that happens when things get so hot and so the factions become so contentious that people stop participating or young people turn off government. They don't want to take political office. They don't want to vote. They just sign off. This is not what we want to see in a thriving democracy. When civility is present, democracy thrives. When it is not present, democracy withers. And our mission is the informed and active participation of citizens in government. I meant to mention about our league. Even though we're the League of Women Voters, we're almost 30% men in our membership. We have a membership brochure with a whole bunch of men in it, no women. So if you ever are inclined to join the league, if you're a man, don't be afraid. There are lots. You'll have lots of company, and we'd love to have you. So we're going to be promoting civil discourse. Our first vice president and director of civil discourse, Sharon Kimball, who really spearheaded our study on this issue, is going to tell you what we mean by civil discourse and how we plan to implement it countywide. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for allowing us to come here this evening. I'm the first vice president, as she mentioned, the person who was in charge of the study. And we have every January a meeting where we decide what we think it's most important for us to advocate on behalf of. And in the league, you can't have a position, you can't advocate unless you have a position, and you can't have a position unless you have a study. So after the last presidential election in January, we met, and our membership, 30 people met, came, and they were very upset over the inability for people to reach across the aisle and try to solve some of the critical problems facing us on the national level. And we didn't want to see that happening in our own county. And since we are a county league, we can't talk about incivility, which had become such a big problem, or the lack of civil discourse as the communication, desired communication process to arrive at critical decisions. And right now we have this very critical problem of water shortage, as you know, among other things. So this was a very different thing to study, a communication process. We wanted to find out what it was, wrap our minds around it, come up with a definition and a best practices, and then we wanted to be able to go out and promote it to all of the government bodies, because we studied by reaching out first to elected officials. We sent out letters to all the elected officials in the county asking what they were currently doing. And then we met in all parts of the county and opened up the meetings not only to our own members but to community members so we could have conversations about what they saw as civility and civil discourse and what did they think. And they all contributed together for us to come up with a definition and best practices. The first slide over here is from the State League of Women Voters of California, which we went and participated in a workshop with several other leagues about democracy and dialogue, empowering our communities through civic engagement. In the state of California, we have 70 chapters, the most chapters of leagues of any state in the United States. There are chapters of League of Women Voters in every state because we originally organized, came out of trying to get women the right to vote across our country. In the state, in the United States, we have over 1,000 chapters total, and they're there promoting and protecting people's rights, citizens' rights, every day. And we have a location, our national organization in Washington, D.C., and a lobbyist that helps protect those rights. So as was mentioned, we the League of Women Voters, feel that civil discourse makes democracy work better, and making democracy work is the mission statement of the League of Women Voters. But we think it also increases civic engagement, and it empowers communities to find common ground, which some people think is an ugly word, but we have to work together, and we feel we work better together when we try to talk through things. Because when people stop talking or stop talking in a civil manner, then, as you know, bad things happen. You can see that in other countries without having to go into detail. So if San Luis Obispo County is to survive and thrive, we feel like civil discourse is one of the really big ways that we can assure that through longevity. So the definition we came up after a year's study and over 50 meetings and reaching out to elected officials and community members is as follows. We could have gone into more depth, but when we had all of these debates and discussions, and we came up with what we thought were some of the key factors. And we define civil discourse as courteous, constructive communication characterized by mutual respect, fairness, and attentive listening. Now, all of that sounds good, but if you examine each component and really try to do it, it's not as easy as it sounds. And we have presented you with a resolution we hope you adopt that has some of the most important principles that we feel would make a difference when you, for instance, listening. How many uninterrupted times do you have? And when you listen to someone else, are you clearing your mind? Are you leaving yourselves open to really trying to understand what the other person is saying? And are we courteous to everyone, regardless of how we might have felt or what happened at a previous meeting? All of these things are not as easy as they sound. And I can tell you that when I was chair and on the study committee, we all encountered from week to week challenges along the way, and that even empowered us to really understand how important this is. In real estate, they talk about location, 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 but in the area of government, leadership is key. And what we found in going out to different government bodies and talking to citizens and elected officials is that some leaders are better than others in terms of setting the tone at meetings and making sure. I studied your, you have every year in January, you review your bylaws, and you also have rules of decorum. And those are great, but really reading through and understanding those and implementing them and making them part of what you do and who you are is really key to being a really good government body. If you happen to be in an organization where there is not good leadership, then what we found in our study and discussions is that there are individuals that who may be directors or on committees that maybe you can take the leadership by how you respond and how you model your behavior and how you use civil discourse, because I think you can, in the athletics, we talk about creating a wave. Well, we want to create a wave of civil discourse and civility. And if each person, I can't change other people, I can go out and talk and give you ideas of how to do this and why to do this and why it makes things better, and I can encourage you. But each of us needs to examine our own selves and find out, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? And do we want to become part of the solution? So we came out with, and I have handed these out, and for citizens that are here today, there are extra ones. As a result of our study, we put together a brochure, and in the middle section of the brochure are a list of what we found in our study to be the best practices. So as an elected official, these are some things, some guidelines that might be helpful. And as I said, you don't have to be the leader or the president or the manager. You can be part of the committee and show leadership just by how you model yourself. So lead by example, show respect to all. And one of the things, it's not just about the words, but it's about the body language. Words are important, absolutely, but your tone of voice and your body language, and sometimes when elected officials are up there, I think sometimes they forget, and even when we come up to the microphone and speak, we forget that we have little things like that are tells. So our words might sound nice, but if our tone of voice isn't nice, or if we're rolling our eyes, or we're thumping our fingers, or we're doing other things, that sends a message that's in conflict with our words. And in the communication model, for any of you who have studied communication, people go by your body language more than your words if there's a conflict. That's what they take as the real meaning. We believe in the First Amendment and freedom of speech. And when we first came out and started talking, people were concerned that we were going to start going out and pointing fingers and becoming the civil discourse police. We do not want to be the civil discourse police. We believe in freedom of speech and right, but we think that there's a way to talk that makes things better and helps us get better decision-making results. And as a leader, you can provide adequate time. 3 minutes is usually the time for speaking, but, you know, you can, by leadership, you can let somebody finish a sentence or their thought. So that's one minor way of showing civility. Listen actively, thank speakers, and where appropriate, acknowledge public input. Speak truthfully without distortion. Never comment on the motivation of a speaker.
promote discussion on the merits, evidence, to support opinions and conclusions, and remind participants about rules of conduct before the meeting. And sometimes there are people, that we have certain people that I've observed that go to a lot of meetings and they're regulars, and I say thank you because citizen participation is important. And these people understand the protocol, public comment, how much time, but there are some new people that don't understand that. So it's nice to sometimes remind people. Always encourage respectful speech and discourage potentially slanderous, profane, or personal remarks. And your rules of conduct spell that out pretty clearly about things that are, and then we have the Brown Act, which all of you as elected officials are probably familiar with, and some citizens, and that assures us that we have these open public meetings. So here's a list of what we found in our study that most people have. All elected officials in the state of California have the California Brown Act, and most of them have ordinances and codes of conduct and codes of ethics. And I see that you have training, that you have ethics training, and also a second kind of training that you do here. So in our... and within 6 months of becoming an elected official, according to your... rules of decorum, that training is supposed to take place, and it's supposed to take place every 2 years. I think sexual harassment was the second. It was ethics and sexual harassment. So I'm kind of a nerdy person, so I really go out and read and study things because I think that's important. So here are the key principles that are in the resolution that we hope that you adopt, because I think they complement, but they also kind of focus in on the civility and civil discourse as a real key to solving problems. Respect the right of all people to hold different opinions. Avoid rhetoric intended to humiliate, malign, or question the motivation of those whose opinions are different from yours, and strive to understand different perspectives. Choose words carefully. And in this day and age, you really have to, because public meetings are recorded. Once you say something, it's out there. It can be tweeted. It can be out there for ad infinitum. So we all know how important it is to choose, even in the heat of passion. It's important to try and choose your words carefully. Speak truthfully without accusation. Avoid distortion. Speak out against violence, prejudice, and incivility in all their forms whenever and wherever they occur. All of us are capable of being uncivil. None of us are perfect. We're all human. We have buttons, invisible buttons, that if when pushed could put us on the edge of incivility. And so because of that, I just say that when you're in that kind of state of mind, and there are things that justify being in that state of mind, try and control yourself and reframe it, because when you frame it better, people are going to listen better, and you're going to be more successful in getting your point across. Why does civil discourse matter? Well, civil discourse, we feel, promotes informed discussion of public issues, essential for government bodies and citizens to make good decisions. And we want good decisions, because I love the Central Coast. I love all of the cities. They're wonderful, and the people here are wonderful. And I've lived and worked in 6 different states, and I love this the best of any state I've been in, because I think you do show a lot of civility and civil discourse, and I think people, citizens, are a lot more active here than I've observed in other places. So why does civil discourse matter? Well, we think citizens and elected officials have a right to express their free speech. We support that at all levels of the league, but in an environment that makes everyone feel safe and respected. When we had our meetings and reached out in the county, we found that some people were intimidated because of either how elected officials were conducting or not controlling meetings, or they were intimidated by other citizens who were present and so forth. And not everybody feels comfortable getting up and speaking. So I had someone recently send me an email, and I said, well, if there's something that you want to say and you don't feel comfortable, in this democracy, you can organize your own citizens group. You can have someone who's like-minded go and be your spokesperson. So that's the wonderful thing about a democracy, is that we have this precious gift that people are dying to get in other countries. And you can vote. If somebody isn't doing what they need to be doing, you have the right to vote. Again, something that people are dying in other countries to get that right, which we take for granted. And we had in the state of California in the last presidential election the worst voter turnout since the 1800s. And this is a gift, as I say, that people are dying to have in other countries, and we just don't show up, and it's a shame. Because we can't have democracy work better without exercising our right to vote. So what are we going to do as the League of Women Voters once we're done going out and talking to government bodies? Here's a list of things that we have that we want to do. The two most important on this list is we have developed an ambassador corps and an observer corps. And the observer corps are a part of the Civil Discourse Task Force that will go out on a regular basis to meetings and see what the level of civility is and speak. If they can't speak, they just observe, but they report back. And they report back on two things. Originally, the Observer Corps was formed because we have positions, so they could, if some position is coming up, we can go and talk about it and say, the League has a position, we support this that you're discussing, if it's on your consent agenda. Our Ambassador Corps will speak, and if public comment is taking place. Sometimes you have meetings where there isn't public comment, but most of the time it is. We'll get up and maybe give some tips on if it's something that might be contentious. And you can contact our president, Margaret Bader, and say, you know, we're going to have something tonight. We'd really appreciate your presence and kind of reminding people to kind of frame their ideas and because we want to hear everybody and do that. So we have some workshops listed, Speakers Bureau. We are working on a potential curriculum for the schools because we think, you know, formal debate, and we have a local debate team that's doing well and going to be participating in a national competition, gives you some of those important rules of how you handle issues and see them from both sides. So we think that's important to begin early with that. And we want young people to be active in government and not to distrust government because it is a government by the people, and we want people to want to participate. So that pretty much concludes what we have to say today, and we thank all of you for your service because we know it's not easy and you have some really serious challenges, and we thank all the citizens that have taken time to come and comment about the things that are important to them. So I hope that we can all learn to work together in a civil way using civil discourse so we can solve the problems and make the best decisions for all of us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any comments from the board before I open up to the public? Yes? No? Microphone.
Discussion here in this context can get pretty hairy. And I noticed the slides and the program seem to be oriented mostly towards us up here. Well, in past years, there's been a lot of stuff going on up here that was not too great. I think this board pretty much works together. They like each other. We try to come together and do good stuff. However, I think the culture of participation on the part of folks out there is very, very mixed. It's sometimes awful, sometimes wonderful. And the awful doesn't help.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take a moment for Marshall here to turn his phone off. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments or discussion from the board before I open it up?
I'd like to ask a question, but I'll wait till
after. Okay, very good.
I do have a comment.
Sure. Go ahead, Chuck.
I didn't really feel like that was directed at anyone in particular. It was at both sides of the aisle, and I do want to remind people that this whole issue arose from comments that were expressed from this board to speakers in the audience when they would come up to the microphone before they even opened their mouths. That's where this whole thing started.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments before I open it up? Okay, I'll open it up to the public. Please come forward, state your name for the record. Thank you.
Peggy Pavick. First, I'd like to thank Chuck for attending the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors meeting in September and attempting to get the interest rate lowered on the SRF loan. It appears once again that Chuck is the only board member.
Excuse me. Peggy, this is on number 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was 8.
No, 7.
Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Drop something, Peggy. Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I appreciate the presentation, and I'm really glad to see that we are talking in protection of both sides, because I've been public speaking, one of the biggest fears of my life early on, but what I sense is that we take our time to come and attend and be educated on the subject, and often we get no response and no answer. So I just would like to inform you that the reason that we keep coming and bringing up the same issues is a matter of not getting a response and not getting actions that we feel should be taken. So, again, that is why we come, is to participate and make a better government.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I... what Mr. Tornatsky just said is it seems to be directed at you because you can only control you. This is a resolution that your board's going to adopt to promise to try to do these things that the League has laid out for you. You cannot control the public. And the Brown Act protects me as the public from you. It's not the other way around. I've seen each one of you when you ran for office stand here and be part of us. I've seen it many, many times. Once elected and you get on that other side of the dais, somehow you forget how it felt to be over here. And that's a sad day. It's a sad day when things you stood before against prior board members to say, I would never throw someone out of a meeting. I would never gavel someone down. And then when you get on that side of the dais and you do that, take a check. I think we have to realize that those things happen. Yes, we all lose our temper, but I want passion on both sides. If you believe in something, if you can back your things with your opinion with fact, fantastic. But we have the right to express our opinions. This particular district, I love that the League's going all around the county. This particular district, if it's been done anywhere, it's happened here. We've had people fist fighting. We've had sheriffs in the back of the room. We had a plainclothes security guard hired by the district using taxpayer funds to have law enforcement and that security guard in the room to intimidate the public. So if it can happen, it happens in Los Osos. And I encourage you to adopt the resolution, but more than that, live by it. Live by it. And if you set the example, it's very likely that we will follow. That's how leadership works. Leaders lead, and the rest will follow. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Al Barrow. Good evening. How are you all? Hope you had a happy Halloween and you have a happy Thanksgiving. I would like to preface my remarks by similar observations that Ms. Tacker made. Is we have a royal battleground politically here, and there's blood all over it. I mean, people have been removed from office, recalls. We've had all kinds of really harsh kinds of things going on. But in spite of that, there's a lot of good things going on. So I think one of the things that will help us do that is to think about the positive while we're talking about something that's not good. In other words, shaking your pencil at them is not a very good strategy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what we want to do is we want to be nice to one another. And at the same time, you have to address the issue correctly and honestly and bring forward. And I think being objective about that, we do have a prefrontal low-plex cortex, and we can use that to express prefrontal cortex. Does that help? we can use the side of the brain that's not emotional. And just by going there, we avoid a great deal of stress and grief. And we are all human, all of us. And despite what political side you came from or why you were elected or why you ran for office, there's still that basic humanity that we need to sort of have a simpatico for. And so I really think that if we get objective about our comments, we can be more compliant with your desires. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lynette Tronotsky, Los Osos, thank you very much for giving us this talk. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad that you said that it was not only aimed at these guys, but aimed at us, too. I thought this was a great topic, but then I read the proposal, and only the board has to sign the pledge. And I thought, that's kind of unfair. I just finished listening to the Finance Advisory Committee meeting that occurred on Monday, and it was horrible. And I was kind of appalled. And I thought back on all the meetings that I've attended since 2006. Certain members of the audience think that it's their right to say whatever mean words that they like, and the board up here just has to sit and take it. But what's worse than that is the utter disrespect and rudeness from commenters towards staff. And I sure don't appreciate it as a speaker when I'm up here to have people shouting at me from the back of the room because they don't like what I'm saying. So what civil discourse is asked and put on the slides here, it is courteous, constructive communication characterized by mutual respect, fairness, and attentive listening. And citizens and elected officials have a right to express their free speech, but in an environment that makes everyone feel safe and respected. Well, I certainly don't feel that way when people are yelling from the back of the room. And you wonder why there's a lot of people who don't show up here anymore. So I think only having half of the group in the room taking the pledge is a waste of time. We're all adults here, whether we're elected or not. So we can't hold you to a higher standard than one that we ourselves are unwilling to match. So I'd like to see it spread throughout the room. I'm willing to sign it. I hope others would be too.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back for... Oh, we've got another speaker. Oh. Okay. Please stand up right away so I don't miss you. Thank you.
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. The last speaker spoke of a lot of things, but her member on this party should have never happened, ever. Not in his field of job, not with his age, anything. And when people talk like that, they should not even be on the board. Because that's disgusting. And I talked to somebody the other day and I asked, this was a neighbor, how do you like our public government? Oh, I like it. What'd you say? I said, do you know anything about it? No. Well, that's why you like public government, because you have no clue what's going on in this town. And that's the bottom line.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Gretchen Clark, Los Osos. I really embrace the impetus for us to all have more civil discourse at the CSD. We've stayed away from the meetings many times because of the acrimony that often gets started. And I, for one, would like to be able to discern more of what's really happening with our local government. And if it's colored by accusation that is not answered and a discourse taking place back and forth, I think it makes it difficult for the citizens to want to come to the public square. I've been wanting to encourage more of our neighbors to come, and I think if this can be furthered, I think people are going to be more willing to come and participate, and that's what the democracy is supposed to be about. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any more speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. Any further comment? Go ahead there. Mr. Sassenger.
I don't have a problem with the board taking the step to sign a resolution. We chose this knowing what we were getting into. I do think there are a lot of things here that people read and they say, yeah, that sounds good, and yet it seems so difficult to practice. One of the most troubling from this side are conversations that happen while someone's trying to speak to us. You don't have to agree with everyone, but you don't really help anything by disparaging comments while people are speaking. And there were some things that we don't always think about. One, the actions do speak louder than the words. And if I'm getting a disconnect, I'm going after the actions. And that includes raising your voice when you're speaking, simple things like that. But there's one that I really want to call attention to on here, and that is questioning the motivations of others. That's a very subtle thing, and I think we all tend to slip into that. Anytime someone disagrees with us, we've got to find a reason why they are wrong. And it gets back to their motivation quite often. And that's just so wrong because we're not allowing each other to even have a difference of opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, I wasn't going to comment, but I do have a couple of comments. First of all, in reference to the slides and the presentation and the public comments, I appreciate the fact that everybody should be held to a standard, but I agree with the presentation that the leadership comes from this board, and we're the ones that need to be held to a higher standard, and I truly believe that. So I appreciate the comments from the public, but I think we have to be the leaders in this situation. And I apologize for my phone going off, can I ask an off-task question here for a minute? I'm president of the California Special Districts Association for the county. Would you guys be willing to come to our next chapter meeting and give this to our organization? Could you give me contact information? I'll get in touch with you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment? Okay, I think I just wanted to echo what Chuck mentioned, and for me it's distracting when I'm trying to listen to a speaker, and I do honestly listen to everybody. I've never not learned something up here, but it is very distracting when there's comments going on in the back of the room. We can hear it up here. It comes forward, and so if you do need to talk to someone, I'd encourage you to get up and walk outside, come back. Simple as that. Okay, with that, close it out. I think we need to get a motion to move this resolution 2015-29 forward. Can I get a motion from the board?
So moved.
Okay, a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, can you read the roll, please?
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
Director Sassania?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and thank you to the League for being here. Really appreciate it. Okay, now we will move on to item 8. This is public comment for items not on the agenda. And so if you wish to speak, please come forward and state your name.
Alfred Barrow. Good evening.
Good evening.
Just learned recently that we have a new government over the area, and it will be run by representatives from all the purveyors in the county, and it will have some directors, and then it will have backup directors. So there will be 8 chosen people on that. And that's a government body, and it has a lot of powers. It doesn't have funding now, but it does have the ability to enter into debt, to issue contracts, hire consultants, and all of those kinds of details that it takes to build infrastructure, such as a water treatment plant, water pipelines, wells, new wells, so that we can comply with the Water Board's sustainable basin requirements. So that basin committee will be elected or appointed, excuse me, by all you these members, and it could be a very powerful layer of government over what we have now, which is the county and the district. So I think people need to start checking that out a little bit. There was an ISJ approval, 44-page document issued by the judge, and you can read that, and it tells you all the powers that this new government has. I personally don't really like to see more layers of government. I think we have a lot of government right now. I think the district and the county, the Coastal Commission, the Water Board, quite a few other organizations, too, that we have to consider. So even though we have this, and I don't particularly like having it, we're going to have to live with it. And so there'll be a meeting on the 19th in the afternoon at the Water Board. So all of you who are interested should come, because this is a big deal for the Los Osos community. And you'll find that there will be lawyers from each one of those purveyors and the county there. Our district engineer will be there, Rob Miller. And so I think that this is a very big meeting, and we have to, at that meeting, decide how much of this government, how powerful it is and how much. But it will also provide another opportunity for us to a pre-application for loans for Prop 1 money. There's $800 million in that fund from the State Water Board, and there's $100 million of that in the Department of Water Resources. And they are taking pre-applications. So it may be possible to fund all of the infrastructure costs by grants from the state rather than taxes on top of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
First, I'd like to thank Chuck for attending the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors meeting.
Thank you.
In September, and attempting to get the interest rate lowered on the SRF loan. It appears once again that Chuck is the only board member looking out for the citizens of this community, and that's very commendable. But why hasn't Ms. Kivley been doing her job? She should have requested that reduction months ago. That's part of her job. It's clear Ms. Kivley is not concerned for the well-being of this community, and it's time to fire her. Also, I would like to thank Chuck, Richard, Julie, and Jeff for attending the county's septic reuse meeting and asking questions in an effort to help residents reuse their septic tanks. The burning question I have is, again, where was Ms. Kivley? Why are these good residents doing her job? Chuck, again, is to be commended for going the extra mile, but I have to ask, where were the other board members? Is Chuck the only director looking out for the citizens of this community? If that's the case, what do we need with Ms. Kivley and the other board members? If you're not interested in serving the community, maybe it's time to talk dissolution. Another concern I have is, why has the assessment on the old Tri-W loan gone up? There are about 100 different special assessments throughout this county, and 99% of them are collected by a government agency. The LOCSD is the only government agency that has its assessments, including the LOCSD waste treatment, collected by a private company, the Wallace Group. To my knowledge, that was never disclosed to the residents of this community. Why has the old Tri-W assessment increased? I spoke with Bruce Buell at length years ago, and he assured me that it would be a fixed rate for the life of the assessment. It's time for this board to give this community answers about this rate hike now. Another question, did that assessment increase because someone here screwed up and refunded assessments to a number of your cronies, leaving a shortfall that had to somehow be made up? I'd like those questions answered, too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Keith Weimer. I'm past chair of the Los Angeles Sustainability Group and current chair of the Water Committee of the Sierra Club. The LOSG, the Sierra Club, and I spent many hours reviewing the basin plan and providing input to help you develop the plan that would save the basin. And because we know it's much better to hammer out a good agreement than to try to fix a bad one. The CSD and other parties did not implement any of our recommendations, which were essential elements of sustainable groundwater management, including measurable objectives and specific contingency plans. Some have said that the basin plan is a living document suggesting the plan can be improved after it's in effect, but due to a disastrous final judgment, you'll have a very hard time breathing life into this plan so that it saves the endangered basin. Here are a few reasons, things that you agreed to. You agreed that only CSD and other purveyor customers are responsible for the seawater intrusion problem and for stopping it. Private well owners are not involved in the plan and can pump as much as they want. You agreed to a definition of a sustainable yield that allows seawater intrusion to advance indefinitely in Zone D and never stop in Zone E. You agreed that purveyors should pursue a conservation goal of 50 gallons per person per day indoor water use rather than achieve any measurable reduction in water use or improvements in seawater intrusion. An indoor goal is not measurable, and production estimates show it has already been achieved. Further, it's a major step backwards. Experts agree 32 to 42 gallons per person per day indoors is easily achievable, and the CSD is well on its way to 50 gallons per day indoors and outdoors, a target achieved in other communities. You also agree that key outdoor conservation measures encouraged and even required by the state, gray water reuse, rainwater catchment, and low water use landscaping, should not be part of a conservation program. This undermines the efforts of your own utilities committee to develop a strong program. You agreed there is no emergency shortage despite the governor's declaration of an emergency, undermining your own water shortage contingency plan and ability to protect CSD wells. You agreed purveyors can increase pumping 200 acre feet without any infrastructure programs in place, effectively ignoring the governor's order to reduce water use by 25% as compared to 2013, and allowing the county to justify about 1,000 new homes during the worst drought in history with no signs of seawater intrusion improving. You also agreed that any significant changes in the basin plan and stipulated judgment require a unanimous vote giving veto power to each of the parties.
Okay.
And making it very difficult for the CSD to improve the plan. Just one line left. The best you can do now is petition the court for changes, but it is unlikely the judge will listen after 7 years of negotiation.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and not on your agenda tonight, but I think we'll reference it later, is an October 7th letter from the County Auditor Controller, James Erb. With the parts we'll reference later, I'm not going to talk about right now. What I am going to talk about is something that Peggy brought up, and that's the bond administrative charge that your board approved in July. That additional charge was added to the tax roll for the Tri-W project for the Prohibition Zone ratepayers on the old debt associated with that project. It appears from Mr. Erb's opinion that that was done in error, and I'm curious now how you're going to rectify it, if you agree with him, how you're going to rectify it. What occurs to me is how we got there was on the interpretation and recommendation from your general manager that this was okay because the bankruptcy somehow said it was okay. Where we fell down as a district is that we would have had this kind of discussion in a finance committee before ever bringing it to the board. You have valuable input from volunteers in this community that are willing to do the research, willing to help you shape your decisions, and help you with their recommendations and their expertise, and you continue to push them away. You continue to push them away. And maybe not you as individuals are pushing them away, but the fact that you haven't amended the bylaws to make monthly meetings or bi-monthly meetings and let that bylaw stand that says that meetings will be committee meetings will be quarterly is on you. Agendize it now. You don't have to wait till January to amend your bylaws. You can amend your bylaws as fast as you want. And this is a very good example of how the heck are you going to get yourself out of it, because I think you should. I don't know if you got phone calls, but I certainly did, from ratepayers in the district in the prohibition zone saying, what is this new number? I've been paying the same amount or slightly more for years, a decade. So I would like to know when we're going to see it on an agenda and rectify it.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lindy Owen again. I'm trying to find a way that will not be as upsetting to really urge that we look into replacement of our general manager. I'll go back down the list. We need a capable manager, and I've witnessed almost 2 years of questionable management and leadership direction that have done such things as reducing committee meetings from every month. We have active participants and we have active problems in the area of water utilities, and those meetings got canceled by your general manager with your one individual approval. It never went through this board. Other things that did not go through the board that are very upsetting and are costing the district quite a bit of money was, for instance, the water tank cell tower proposal, which took up energy and legal costs to look into and was quickly overruled when the citizens that live nearby protested and you were willing to take that idea off the table. But much time was wasted. In committee, that could have been processed and we would have realized that was the wrong way to be going. Removing the live programming that AGP offers was at the community center. That decision did not go through this board, and we're now stuffed into this little room, which is difficult for most of the community to get to. It's dark outside, and that was all done by the general manager's decision with somebody's approval on the board. Moving out of our current building that we've been in for almost 14 years, when we do less services than we ever did in the past, I've never heard a reason or a rationale, but to move to a more expensive building, that was done by your general manager with no open discussion on this board. The building replacement for the water yard, we've had no cost analysis. It could be so much less expensive and more efficient to go ahead and put a new mobile unit down there rather than spend the money. We've already spent $7,000 having architects and engineers look at a remodel on a building that's 60 years old or something. Those are questions that could have been solved in committee and should be solved in committee. The finance committee would have had lots to input. We can do a better government when we actually have open government, and Ms. Kivley has done much to eliminate all those processes. We also have a PR firm that we've been paying. We have no idea what the results were or how much we've paid, and there's no review of the actions for our water audit, water conservation. You look confused, Marshall. But then we've never had a budget on time, and we also have had a horrible audit, which could reduce our chance to get loans and grants.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, I might not get another opportunity to do this in December because this member of staff may not be here in December. But 12 years ago, this community made a decision to change the direction of its fire department. Dan Turner was the county fire chief. Matt Jenkins was under him, and Phil Vanaris was under Matt. It was an 18-month battle to get what we felt was bad management of the fire department removed from this community and bring in proper management, which was Cal Fire. Through all of this, from the start, Phil Vanaris has been our fire chief. When they took over, we had no reserve account for replacement of vehicles. We bought our last fire engine for cash. We're able to buy our next vehicle for cash. We went from acrimony at the fire station to probably the smoothest running operation in this community. I have attended almost every emergency services committee since Phil's been here, and I don't ever remember a complaint letter being filed in the chief's report. Maybe some of you have, but I haven't. Phil is retiring. I don't know if he'll be here for the December meeting. I think proclamations, acknowledgments, thank yous are all appropriate. I think he's done this community a great service over the years. He holds his staff accountable. The firefighters under him are all respectful, courteous, and available to the public by dialing on the phone or making a phone call. I personally will miss him. I consider him a friend. I hope the next person we get in is half the person Phil is. I don't think we will ever have another fire chief like Phil who cares about this community as much as he did. And I think we need to acknowledge that in some way. This is the shining jewel in this community, this fire department and that staff. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other public speakers? Okay, we'll close out public comments for items not on the agenda and move on to administrative and committee reports. Conveniently, we have Phil Vanaris here. Take a lap, Phil.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience, at the public. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much. You have before you a couple chief's reports. Before I get going, I'd like to point out, though, that this is the beginning of the winter season. A couple of things I'd like to add for winter safety. I'm sure everybody checked their smoke alarms when they changed their clocks like they're supposed to. If you remember, they're now requiring carbon monoxide and smoke detectors in the houses, and the new smoke detectors come out with a 10-year battery, so you never, ever have to listen to somebody, not me, somebody say, check your batteries. You don't have to answer, but a couple of you guys think about it, not a couple of you, all of you. When was the last time you changed a smoke detector? Just took it out and put a new one in. Every 10 years is what we're looking at. That's why we have a 10-year battery. If you haven't done it in a long time, you probably need to do it. We've got them at the fire station. They came to the community through a grant, a great grant with an emphasis on senior citizens and mobile home parks, but they're free to anybody who lives in Los Osos. check your smoke detectors. If it's old, you don't know when it was put in, get a new one. Candles and fires are now in our houses this time of year. A lot of people are burning fires, have candles on the holidays. Just be careful around kids and pets. We also recommend that if you're not certain on your furnace, not certain on your chimney, that you get it professionally checked and cleaned. And we have a large amount of fires that occur every year. People are burning the fire. I had a fire in my chimney or my fireplace 3 days ago. Took the ashes out, put it around the back, started a new fire, and later that day we get a fire outside the structure from the ashes that they put out. So if you're going to take ashes out, put them in a metal bucket, fill the metal bucket full of water. Saves a lot of effort. So that's my winter safety spiel. You have before you the chief's report from August, which is not winter. In the month of August, 97 calls, six of them were back-to-back calls. Five of those required advanced life support, which is a very large number. Of the 97, 69 were medical aides, with 42 requiring advanced life support. One firefighter rode into the hospital with the ambulance one time. We had no calls for staging, two traffic accidents, and seven incidents reported as fires. Company 15 came back a total of four times. In the month of August and September, you'll hear this twice, or you see it twice, we started preparing for Fire Prevention Week. That was held the month of October. You'll have a much more detail in my next chief's report for the month of October, but just a verbal synopsis. We raised just under $1,700 thanks to the citizens in Los Osos through the raffles, through the silent auction, and through the barbecue. All that money went to the Alicia Ann Rouge Byrne Foundation, which is, again, a tremendous foundation for burnt kids and supporting their families. As far as statistics goes, we were a little less this year than we were the last couple of years. We attribute that to not having an anchor store behind us with the closing of the supermarket. But we do want to thank the Emergency Services Committee, the Los Osos Fire Safe Focus Group, and members of the staff and the board that did attend. We estimate 462 people walked through the place. There were 90 kids stamps, and 90 kids learned hands-only CPR, learned how to use a fire extinguisher, went through the fire safety house and did some fun rope stuff with the firefighters. And 102 actually went through the smokehouse, so it was a good group. Continuing in August, we did some training with the firefighters. We're now coming on with the high-performance cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or high-performance CPR. It's a new way of doing CPR for emergency responders. You'll see that throughout the county as it comes on, and we're starting to show that in conjunction with hands-only CPR to the public, and we're having some good findings nationwide. In the month of August, we still had four remaining code violations for hazard abatement, and Station 15 were working with them, with those individuals. And most of those were folks who were just needed more time. In September, we went to 86 calls. Five of those were simultaneous calls. Four of those required advanced life support. Of the 86 calls, 66 were medical aides, 45 requiring advanced life support. A Cal Fire firefighter went in twice in the month of September to the hospital with the ambulance. Three calls were for staging, nine traffic accidents, and three incidents reported as fires. Company 15 came back a total of 12 times, which is, I believe, the highest number in 2015. Sam McElhaney, he was a firefighter for us for 6 years. He received a full-time job in San Diego for Cal Fire and is now working down there. He resigned. We're going to miss Sam. He was always a good guy and always was there when we needed him and always had a big mustache. In the month of September, we started looking for new firefighters, and I can give you a verbal on that again tonight. You'll see more information on it in my next chief's report. But we ended up advertising, got, I believe, 22 people submitted applications, 19 or 18 came and actually did the physical ability and the interview. We offered employment to five individuals. We were looking to hire seven or eight, ended up with five. And unfortunately, one has already backed out. So we're coming up with a strategy, working with the general manager to start the process over after the first of the year. Finally, in the month of September, we did conclude the solar installation project. The AM Solar came in, put everything up in September. It was actually activated last month, and we've now starting to do our walkthroughs to train the employees on how to use it, how to clean it, the warranty work, and all that kind of stuff. And so that will conclude my two chiefs' reports. I can answer questions if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Any questions from the board? Okay.
Not a question, just a comment. And Phil, you're not going to get off this easy.
Yes, sir.
There's last page of the packet that came with your reports. I have to read this letter. I saw it at the Emergency Services Committee, and I have to read it here. Because it starts at the top. Leadership sets the tone. Dear sir, I'm a very disabled lady confined to a motorized wheelchair. On September 26th, the day before my 90th birthday, I accidentally broke a hose pipe and created a geyser in my backyard. I was so upset and frightened, I didn't know what else to do, so I called 911 and they sent the fire department. Engineers Teddy and Gabriel arrived within minutes and they were so kind. They calmed me down, shut off the water, went to the hardware store and out of their own pocket purchased repair materials, returned, fixed the pipe, and put out my three trash cans. They left. But after an hour, they returned with two more firemen and presented me with a balloon that said happy birthday and then sang happy birthday to me. That starts at the top.
Very good. Thank you, Chuck. Okay, Chief, I guess that's all we have for you. Thank you. Okay, we move on to Utilities Department report. And
Good evening, Board. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm in the Utilities Department, and I'm here to report for August and September. And it's kind of hard to follow Phil. We will miss him.
You're not retiring.
He's not retired.
No, you're not.
Oh, me? Yes, I will be.
But not now.
Not right now.
Thank you.
Soon. So our production, water production for August was 14.5 million gallons, which was a decrease of about 26% from last year at this time. And then in September it was 14.6 million gallons, which is pretty close, and that was a decrease of approximately 20% from the year before. In September, 43% of the service area received bills for 11.8 million gallons of consumption. And that's for the period of July 9th through September 11th. And that was approximately a 26% decrease from last year. Projected revenue for this period was $135,669, which is a decrease of approximately 8% when compared to last year also. Now, in October, 57% of our service area was billed for 15.8 million gallons of consumption. And that was for the period August 7th through October 13th. And that's a 20% decrease according to the previous year. The projected revenue for that was $178,030, which is approximately 2% decrease. So we've got some graphs and tables attached in the staff note there. We had a few inquiries regarding outdoor irrigation schedules, and according to our adopted water shortage contingency plan, our outdoor irrigation should only occur between dusk and dawn, 2 days a week. Even-numbered dresses should water on Wednesday and Sunday, and the odd-numbered should water on Tuesday and Saturday. So I just wanted to make that clear here. And we also please ask to be careful not to let any water run off of the property, because that's a no-no. And we do have a website and a water conservation page, and there's more information there for you. Now, as far as our drainage operations concerned, in August and September, August we had a little bit of rain, but that was kind of weird. And but we sell sandbags. You know, everyone's concerned about the El Nino coming up, and we do sell sandbags for 45 cents each. We sell them at the fire department and also down at the office. Now, we also offer free sand to the public, so people can come and fill up their sandbags down at the yard. But the fire department, their reserves will help out people, too, and fill them up for them. So we do encourage people to protect their own properties. You know, it's not... Mother Nature is very strong. If you're in one of those areas that you know gets a lot of rain, it's in flooding, then I would recommend you just take care of it. Also enclosed in your packet, EcoSlow reported from the 2015 coastal cleanup for September. That was on September 19th. They picked up a lot of trash. There was 5,273 pounds, an additional 163 pounds of recyclable material up and down the Central Coast here. There was a thank you letter that was attached, and we are one of the sponsors for that coastal cleanup. The rain total for this year is pretty dismal. It's for this calendar year, we've only got 4.42 recorded down at the water ops facility, but we'll see what happens in the future. And this concludes my report for tonight, so I'm available for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? I just had one, the nitrate removal at the upper South Bay, that's operational and is what working well?
Yes. Yes, you can see some of the
numbers
statistics
in there.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on, General Manager report, Ms. Kibley.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Part of this report also deals with administrative functions, so I've combined the two. From administrative perspective, staff has been busy making sure that we got our payroll out every 2 weeks, and we have made payments on time with regards to all of our vendors. We have worked with various staff members on human resource-related items and functions. We've had to make various adjustments for personnel-related matters, and we've processed insurance and retirement adjustments that were necessary to the software. It's that time of the year as open enrollment is going on for insurances. In addition, I've prepared additional information and attended advisory committee meetings and, of course, the board meeting. I spent the time completing the additional information that was requested by the Debt Advisory Committee for the loan for Bay Ridge. The information they had requested was what did the CSD tell the Bay Ridge community relative to the 218 process and what were the additional costs associated with. All of that information has been forwarded as per direction of the Debt Advisory Committee to Jim Erb and John Waddell. We've reviewed and gathered data for the various legal claims that we are filing. We've reviewed and forwarded numerous public records requests to legal counsel. In addition, I attended a meeting with the president of Cuesta College and attended the CSDA meeting with the other general managers to get information. Worked with staff has been working in preparation for the auditors who arrive next week. We are working on information for the approved stipulated judgment and update on the Basin Management Plan presentation to the Central Coast Water Board on November 19th. Staff and legal counsel will actually be making a presentation as requested by Ken Harris, the executive director. finalized, printed, and uploaded the adopted budget, which is on our website. And then finally, the most exciting thing that happened in the month is we attended the court proceedings and viewed Judge Tangeman as he executed the order for the stipulated judgment that ended the years of legal proceedings. And with that, that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, thank you. Legal counsel, Mr. Seitz.
Yes, President Wright, members of the board, staff, and audience. My legal report is basically going to mimic what the general manager just indicated. Judge Tangeman did sign the stipulated judgment. It forms that government that government layer that Al Barrow spoke about during his public comment. And I agree, Al. People should be there on the 19th, and they should attend the first meeting. The Basin Management Committee will have its first meeting sometime in December. It is a Brown Act organization. Consequently, it'll be regularly agendized, and there will be public participation on all the decisions that are made before that board that are subject to and not in some way considered to be a closed session type matter. And I don't expect many of those. Consequently, I invite everybody who wants to participate in that layer of government to attend these meetings, listen, understand at the beginning that the Basin Management Committee is going to be doing bylaws, going to be doing everything that a fledgling governmental entity has to do in order to operate. Okay. And what's its power? Well, its power is to implement the Basin Plan. And I'm sorry Keith Weimer's not here because I want to personally invite him to attend those meetings, and if he wants to give it to us, he can give it to us. I mean, we have to listen to everybody. So, but, you know, I view him as a very intelligent individual that could be a really help to the basin. So, in any case, I invite you to attend. Understand that, at least initially, you're not going to be very excited about the decisions that they're going to be making because it's all going to be how it operates and how it works. But you'll all get the chance to comment upon that. As General Manager Kivley indicated, this is the end of a long process, but it's the beginning of a much longer one. The idea here is to stop seawater intrusion and to the extent we can, reverse it. And this Basin Management Committee will have the powers to not only do the to implement the Basin Management Plan, but to change the plan if it doesn't appear to be working. Okay, and you know, time is a relative factor. When are we going to see if we implement all the plans that we do, and the next day we're not going to see a result? Next week we're not going to see a result. Hopefully within a year we'll see some result. Hopefully over 4 or 5 years we'll know that it's working. Okay, but those are the kind of relative time frames that we're going to be dealing with when those plans are implemented. Whether that's going to satisfy the basin, the sustainability group, I can't predict. But you know, we want their participation because we think they would be helpful. So again, Keith, if you're watching on TV, you're very much invited to attend. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, the next item is the LOCAC report.
Vicki Millage, LOCAC chairperson. Our major order of business at our last meeting was a minor use permit for the California State Parks. They are seeking a permit to remove 32 eucalyptus trees that are, I have to read the exact place. They're located in a parcel of the Morro Bay State Park that's found behind the Los Osos Middle School. These are always, anytime any permit comes up to remove trees, it's always fraught with some very emotional comments, and I always appreciate that people in Los Osos care greatly about trees. We also received quite a further education, more than I used to know, about monarch butterflies, which are a major part of the ecosystem. In addition to the minor use permit, they will have to, State Parks will have to get a fire permit because they are proposing to burn the, there are currently stumps left over from a previous tree removal and other sorts of debris that they're proposing to burn. We fortunately have nothing to do with whether or not they get a fire permit. That's up to other folk. Okay. Their reasoning for removing these trees is that they are, well, there are a number of issues they're involved with this, these particular trees. But first of all, I want to say there are 32 of them. They're in a straight line. And because of the wind patterns that are created by trees in a straight line, the monarchs will not overwinter on that particular batch of trees, no matter what. The other major concern, or the major concern really for the state parks, is that there is a particular ecosystem. It's called Baywood Fine Sands ecosystem. And there are only 50 acres left, period. And part of that acreage is within the Morrow State Park, and it is affected by the eucalyptus trees, because it, if you look at the eucalyptus trees underneath them, it's pretty much a dead zone underneath them. Their leaves are not compatible with our ecosystem. We ended up having a spirited discussion, as we usually do, and we recommended for that the project be approved 5-4. Those of us who voted in favor of recommending that the project go forward were made our comments mostly about the value of the ecosystem and the value of the reforestation and revegetation that the parks will be doing when and if these trees are removed. Those who voted against it were, well, we have some folks on the council who believe that no tree should be cut unless it's proven to be absolutely dangerous. And we did receive a lot of comments from members of the public as well as members of the council on the personal enjoyment that folks who do go through that park. We have people who run there, who walk there, who take their children there, and appreciate the eucalyptus environment.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, thank you. Okay, the I'll say this slow, Steve. The Chamber of Commerce report as Steve comes up. Or we can come to you.
All right, good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce and Kiwanis, we held the Oktoberfest recently, October 25th. So we'd like to thank everyone who came out and made it a success. It was well attended. The weather, I'm sure, had a little something to do with it. But we appreciate everybody who came out. If you have any feedback that can help us, we're always trying to, one thing we're trying to always do is improve what we do. And so feedback would be really good for us in this event and really in any event. So Directors Sasania, lucky winner of Rain Barrel Raffle this year at the Oktoberfest. Green Gardeners of Los Osos sponsored the raffle to raise funds for the Blue Sea Community Garden on 11th Street. And the prize was a fully installed rain barrel donated by realtor David Hunter, and all proceeds went to Blue Sea. So congratulations.
It was full. It's partly your money.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. This month, nationally and here also, Small Business Saturday, which is November 28th. At the Oktoberfest at our booth, we were handing out shopping bags, that we had made with the stuff with coupons and special discounts and stuff. We still have some of those bags at the chamber. If you want to stop by, get a free bag. We can always use a another grocery bag. but some good stuff in there. And, you know, and one thing we're going to try to do next year is really put more emphasis on shopping locally. You know, asking people maybe to stop and challenge yourself before you make a purchase, before you go online and buy something, and think about it. Is this something you could buy from one of the businesses here? You know, it's your neighbors, it's your family who own these businesses. So I think that's something we're going to try to work on for next year. But for this year, November 28th, Small Business Saturday. The next big event, the annual Christmas parade. I see someone brought some flyers for that. Thank you, I appreciate it. So it's going to be held on December 12th at 10 a.m. and it's going to be along the normal parade route from Fairchild all the way down to Palisades. If you've never been to it, it's a cool little parade. It's kind of a throwback small town kind of feel to it. You got the marching band and, you know, warming up. You got kids running everywhere. People all dressed up differently. This year is Christmas Safari. So if you want to dress up as a giraffe or whatever, please do. But to enter is only $25. For a float, and let's say if you want to work it, you know, you don't have to be a chamber member to work on any of our things that we do through the year. So we're always looking for volunteers. So please get in touch with us if that's something you'd like to do. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Okay, seeing none. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Mr. Olhulski.
Yes. The Emergency Services Advisory Committee did meet, and we had a very, very good discussion, I thought. There was two items primarily on our agenda, and Chuck, if I miss anything, will you cover me here, please? The two primary discussion items that we had were discussion of the financials and the Fund 301 balances and how those expenditures were going. And there was a request to have those come to us at our next meeting. And then the primary thing that we discussed, and I thought it was very, very productive, was items for discussion by this committee in upcoming calendar year 2016. We ended up with, by my count, and I was just looking at my list here, we had 26 items that we discussed for potential for the committee to discuss next year. Obviously, that's way too many. But we did go ahead and compile those together into five major categories. So we're going to discuss those at a meeting that we have tentatively scheduled for Wednesday the 18th. And I need direction from the board to see if we can go ahead and do that. But we do have a meeting tentatively scheduled for the 18th where the two items on our agenda will be financial update for Fund 301 and then items for discussion by the ESAC for calendar year 2016. That's an overview of what we discussed, and I think it's kind of premature to go into the details at this point, but Chuck, if you want to go into any more detail, feel free to do so.
Well, while we're on committee reports, there was quite a bit of discussion about how frequently we meet, and so I went back to my bylaws, and this came up in the Finance Advisory Committee the other night, too. My written copy of the bylaws is dated January of 2015. Maybe it's outdated. I thought we had a discussion after that regarding whether or not we really needed the board to allow more than monthly meetings. The bylaws read committees can meet monthly or quarterly at the direction of the board. And I thought we had discussed the fact that the committee chair should be allowed to call those meetings as they saw fit without the entire board having to approve that. But I don't find updated bylaws. Did we ever change those? I mean, this seems relevant to every committee, because every committee meeting we're asked, why aren't we meeting more often?
Yeah. No, that was not changed.
It needs to be.
So noted.
Yeah, I think, Chuck, I think that that's when our bylaws, our updates come. I think that's a major item that I want to discuss, too, because I think really in discussions with the chair of the committee that, you know, and the appropriate person like Margaret for UAC or whatever, I think that it makes sense to have more than quarterly meetings. Because sometimes, I mean, we may have quarterly meetings or not. So I think that's something is coming. I believe bylaws are coming on our December meeting, so I think that's something that we'll discuss then. But how do I proceed forward on this?
January.
Okay. But how do I proceed forward with getting my meeting approved for next Wednesday?
Well, we'll ask. We'll just bring it forward, and with the consensus of the board, we have the meeting on the 18th. Are there any objections?
Okay.
Seeing none.
All right. That ends my report then. So we will be having a meeting at 5:30 at the fire station on Wednesday to discuss the financial update on Fund 301 and the items for discussion in calendar year 2016.
Okay. Great. The 18th of?
What did I say?
Wednesday.
Oh. Pardon me. My mind's obviously moved along in time here. Yes, on November 18th at 5:30 at the fire station.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, Utility Advisory Committee, Mr. Ternowski.
Several things happened in the last few weeks.
Maybe I don't need it. The stipulated agreement has made a big difference for what we're doing and what we envision to do. The most tangible things, when the judge said, yes, we're going to sign it, Rob Miller put on a smile on his face that's still there. Al Barrow calls me more times, and we're going to have more discussions about interesting opportunities to fund technology development. And the Basin Plan is no longer just a theoretical or conceptual document. It's a potential action plan. One of the things we did, we moved forward or sooner the next meeting of the UAC. The other thing that I think is coming to the fore is Rob and I and many of the people on the committee are really committed to try to do the Basin Plan, the most promising features of it first, if at all possible, mostly on soft money. Soft money is grants. So we're going to start that. The other thing, the last meeting of the Utility Advisory Committee, we talked about a case that Rob and I had been involved in with a company called Nexus, which is an Australian-based entity that is kind of a saving energy and cleaning gray water that has all sorts of promise. And they wanted to get involved on a grant with some community that we could look at the problem of installing this kind of a system on an already built house. They already have things going with big developments over in Orange County and San Diego County. So we did, we talked to a bunch of people, and now it's sort of moved on to, we're not going to be involved in it. Several of the people on the committee who have a technology mind thought it was kind of cool, and this thing is moving along. It was sort of a dry run of what we're going to have to do as we start looking at projects in the context of grant funding. So we're doing a lot of things. It's going to be a lot more busy, which is a good thing.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Yes. I need to have a consensus from this committee that the UAC can meet on December the 9th, please.
The board, okay.
Yes, thank you.
So December 9th, UAC meeting, consensus, any objections? Seeing none, we have consensus.
Could we talk about the two items that will be on the agenda? They will be similar to what?
Sure.
Okay, they will be the similar items as what the ESAC is looking at, except in this case it will be the update with regards to the mid-year for the budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Nope. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on to the Finance Advisory Committee. Mr. Storm.
The FAC met this last Monday.
We learned that we expect our legal fees to decrease with the resolution of the litigation over the basin, and the committee recommends that we, the board, receive and file the warrants. We reviewed the statement of revenues and expenditures for the first quarter. The committee recommend that we receive and file those as well. Next, we reviewed the district investment policy and the district reserve policy. Those are not on our agenda tonight, but this is the recommendations that were made. The committee recommended that we approve the investment policy as long as we recognize the policy as it's written to allow us to, one, diversify our holdings and protect our capital through, for example, what are called treasury inflation-protected securities, which would allow us to protect our capital from inflation and still be somewhat liquid, and two, that it allows us to ladder the liquidity for optimal return. The committee suggested that we not yet approve the reserve policy until we had updated to reflect the pending elimination of the solid waste reserve and make other updates. Finally, the committee recommended that we direct staff to confer with Rabobank as to whether having all of our funds there leaves them uninsured, as the total amount is higher than the FDIC limit, and therefore whether we should consider using more than one institution, or if they are protected, whether we need to do anything. Next, the FAC reviewed the updated detailed descriptions of the audit findings. As chairman, I promised to include the comments of the committee and the public, even though ultimately the committee moved to recommend that we receive and file the updated findings by a bare majority. I'm not going to name anybody individually, but here are some of the comments. One comment was that there were serious problems with the auditors themselves. For example, they appeared unaware that we did not use QuickBooks. That was an example. There was concern that the management discussion letter was not included with this item that we were considering here. That's been made available apparently tonight. And I said that I would ask for that because we did receive it as a board a while ago. There was concern that this item did not include reference to the investigation about compensated and uncompensated absences, and further concern about proper internal controls as referenced by the letter from the county auditor. For my part, I think the biggest source of confusion was not including the management letter with these updated findings, which was what it appeared we asked as a board in September. There was also concern about the degree to which acts of past staff were referenced, and that was also in the county auditor letter. We considered separately whether to recommend the creation of a subcommittee to review the draft audit for 2014 and 15. Most of the public comment recommended that we simply increase the frequency of the FAC meetings or that the entire FAC sit as the audit committee. There's some confidentiality issues with doing the latter, but it sounds like the other committees want to explore meeting frequency in general as well. Next, the FAC recommends that the board consider tasking it with lots of things next year, including implementing the finances of the basin plan, finance of the maintenance of district facilities, how we manage our surpluses, the capital improvement project, fire tax, of course, the budget, looking at cash balance statements, more frequent meetings, and more detailed minutes. All of those comments, including the public comments, were included in our recommendations to be presented to this board today. Finally, the FAC recommend that the board grant us leave to schedule a meeting on December 7th, 2015 for the pending business we have to catch up on. So I need your consensus on that.
Okay. Yeah, you did. Any questions on an additional meeting for FAC? Can I get a consensus on that?
Mr. Chairman, could we set the agenda the same way as we're setting it for the UAC?
Yes.
The goals Please and do. Objectives and the mid-year budget.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Did we discuss the ad hoc for the audit, draft audit?
Yeah. The FAC considered whether to recommend the creation of a subcommittee to review that. I forget. Did we?
I think we agreed to it.
We agreed to it. Okay.
Okay.
But I guess I put the comments and left out what we agreed to do. I apologize for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, with that, then I'm going to appoint as an ad hoc on the audit?
The committee recommended that the board do that. I think the entire board needs to weigh
okay,
in on that.
Okay, fine. Good consensus on the board if we want to have a ad hoc look at the draft audit or not.
There was pretty strong feeling that the entire committee should be involved. I mean, that's why we have the Financial Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And that it be a public process. We've been struggling with transparency issues, it seems. And then there were issues about confidentiality. And there wasn't a clear direction, I don't think, to have the ad hoc committee formed. And I wouldn't support it.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Other board members want to weigh in on this? Yes or no?
That was the question I was going to ask. Is this ripe for discussion?
As a part of your committee reports tonight, you have given each other nods in regards to holding meetings shorter than the quarterly amount. In terms of the ad hoc committees, the bylaws are clear that the board president shall appoint such ad hoc committee comprised of two or less directors as may be deemed necessary or advisable by himself or herself and or the board. So I believe that you have that power to do that tonight.
That's board members, not committee members, correct? For ad hoc?
Two or less directors, correct.
Okay, so it's not committee, so we'll just kill that idea and we'll bring it back and we'll be meeting on December 18th and setting up for next year's meeting.
Yeah, and that was, with that answer, I wasn't sure where you were trying to go with the ad hoc versus the committee itself. So I think
the idea behind to look at the draft committee, look at the draft audit, was to just go over it before it came to even the committee or even to the board to see if there's some items that need to be looked at more closely. And I think it's if that's the will of the board, then fine. We'll do it through the committee. Okay, thank you. Okay, and with that, we'll move on to Jay, Park and Rec Subcommittee Report. Mr. Storm.
I am really delighted to say that we had a Parks and Rec Subcommittee meeting. It's a good group. It was hard to keep the discussion on task. Everybody was really full of ideas, so it was more of a brainstorming session at that point, and I kind of had to try to keep us focused on what we were doing at this point, which was merely scoping. We talked for a long time, and people had to break up. So what we decided to do is we were going to meet one more time as a subcommittee, and then at that meeting, which should occur shortly in the next couple of weeks, then I'll be able to bring back at the next board meeting our proposal for an advisory committee.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, we have South Bay Community Center Ad Hoc Committee Report. Mr. Olhilski.
Yes. The South Bay Community Center Ad Hoc Committee, we did, that was President Wright and myself, we did meet with the members of the South Bay Community Center, and we did discuss some of the concerns that the district had had in the past relative to our holding meetings at the community center. I think that to my satisfaction, I think to Director or President Wright's satisfaction, all of those concerns were adequately addressed. So the ad hoc committee is recommending that we go back to the South Bay Community Center to hold our monthly meetings.
In January?
It's starting in January because December there's a LOCAC meeting on our day. So.
Okay, so do we take formal action on that now, or as far as, because I know that AGP wants to be able to move some equipment back into South Bay.
Yeah, and just we did speak uh-huh. about your ability to have the closet over there immediately if you'd like to have it. So you can use it. Okay.
Yeah, please.
With this being said, we are going to go to the South Bay Community Center and do the testing necessary to make sure that the fiber link is still connected between South Bay Community Center and the CSD office. I don't have any reason to believe that it has been terminated or not, but We did take the hardware out when we moved out of there. Tomorrow I have an appointment to make that testing possible, right, if it is approved this evening.
Well, like I said, we will not be going back there till January. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there may be a financial impact on the CSD if that fiber has been cut.
Right, but you need to get it set up for the needs and wishes.
Correct.
In December.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And can we, at this point, give permission to air that live? I believe it's a CSD channel, and we do need to approve
that.
That's
what he's talking about with the fiber. That's part of it.
I think that that was our intent as a ad hoc committee. Pardon me, as the ad hoc committee, by going back to the community center, we would have the ability to then go live.
Go
so
live.
That was our
yeah,
intent.
Yeah, yeah. Needs and wishes.
Yeah. Right. He's talking about going live with the meeting.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with our first broadcast from that facility to do the holiday event like we've done in years past. So.
Okay, I just thought that it took board approval to do that, and I wanted to make sure that we were okay with that being broadcast live.
I think that the ad hoc committee was fine with that. We saw it as a way to make sure that everything's up and running. So then that's why we were fine with them going ahead and using the closet there immediately to store the equipment in. So I don't. If you think the board needs to give direction,
we can get consensus, no problem.
Yeah, I think we should make sure that staff, everybody knows that we want that event broadcast live. So, Bob, get back in the closet.
Yeah. I'll do that immediately.
Okay, thank you.
Back in the box again.
That's with the presumption that there isn't a cut in the cable, which
there shouldn't be. I don't see why there would be. So let's just get a consensus from the board. Okay, we have a consensus of starting in January. And Bob, go ahead and move in. Okay, very good. Now let's move on to director's announcements of district community interest and report or attendance at public meetings, training programs, at conference seminars. Yes, sir.
Got that one, too. As I mentioned earlier when I was speaking to the League of Women Voters, I'm the chair of the San Luis Obispo County chapter of the Special Districts Association, and we had our monthly meeting. And at that meeting, we had the community development director, the planning department director, pardon me, Jim Bergman was there. He gave a very, very, I thought, nice presentation about how he wanted to work with us and take input from the community service districts. As part of, you know, his primary emphasis, because he does see that there needs to be countywide input from all the citizens, and that the community service districts is the majority of the citizens in the county area. So those of us that were there actually got his personal cell phone number. So mm-hmm. Those of you who didn't come, you missed out on that.
Yeah.
So he was very, very helpful, I thought, and very, very good presentation. And also, the second thing that came up, well, we have an opening on LAFCO, but we're going to see how we fill that. Right now, my mind went blank. I apologize. We're having our alternate fill that position, and we will be coming up to fill that position permanently in the near future. But Anthony Calvin, who's our vice president, who's San Miguel Community Service District Director, he has come up with an idea which we're following through on right now, and I just want to lay this out so people can understand this. There's been in the county, there's been a lot of subcommittees or committees that recommend actions to the Board of Supervisors or statewide committees that special districts aren't represented on, such as APCD, SLOCOG, that do have a major impact on the special district areas. So we've been working with the League of Cities trying to come up with a way where we can start to go ahead and get additional or get representation on some of those committees where we feel it's important to get our input felt on that. And, you know, and also to get proper representation. Like on the Integrated Waste Management Authority, we have one seat out of seven, but we have almost half the solid waste that's collected in the county area. So that's one thing that we're going to be stressing in the upcoming year is making sure, or at least trying to get representation on these various boards for the special districts. So it's going to be, that will be exciting over the upcoming year. So I thought You know, other than getting Jim Bergman's personal cell phone, I thought that Anthony's work on doing this is really going to be helpful for us in the future. So if anybody, and I mean anybody, not only the board, but anybody out in the audience, has any ideas about what committees or organizations, advisory committees that the special district should be represented on, please get back to me, because we're going through the process now of determining priorities of what ones we feel are most important to get on. And then we're going to start working with the League of Cities and trying to get representation on those committees. So,
okay, very good. Any other meetings, training programs?
I attended the CAPSLO monthly board meeting, and then several days later, a governance training, which I wish I'd have had at the beginning, because now I have a better feel for the whole structural setup of CAPSLO. Unfortunately, they do the training once a year, and always in October, and I think January is when I was appointed to that board. So that's been valuable. I met a lot of people, actually, from Los Osos on their policy committees, and I just don't have a much better understanding of how that the entire board works.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Mr. Drnowski.
Yeah, I attended the RAC meeting, as did Margaret. I think it was a lot of the most heated discussion or interesting discussion was people trying to get geared up for some of the money that's starting to flow from the state. It's not a big amount just yet. So, and I think they've already made a whole bunch of, at the county level, made their choices about what they want to focus on.
Okay.
We'll get it next round. Don't worry.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Seeing none? Okay. Move on. Number 10, public comment for items on the administrative committee report and consent agenda. But before we do that, any board member wish to pull an item from consent for separate discussion? Yeah, thank you again for coming.
From consent?
Okay. Are you ready?
No, wait. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute.
D, F, and G.
D, F, and G?
Yes. D or D?
D is in Delta. F is in Foxtrot and G. Okay, so we'll move those D, F, and G to 13 for separate consideration. Okay. So now we will move back to public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda, except items D, F, and G. First speaker, please.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. First of all, let me just make a comment on legal counsel's report on the new government, the Basin Committee. I spoke with Tim McNulty, county counsel, this evening. He called me about 6, something like that, and he said the county is the only government entity that's authorized to tax the citizens here in this situation. I thought that was an important comment because the county has 20% influence in the votes of the 4 committee members. Each of the big water purveyors have 38%, and S&T has 4%. So what he was making the point was that the county has the ability to tax the community to pay for the basin plan infrastructure. That's why I think it's so important that we get a pre-application and get, not only with your help, but Director Drnowski, but also with people on that committee, because it apparently are going to be meeting pretty soon. So we should bring that forward, and I have, you know, communications with the state on the $800 million in the State Water Resources Fund and the $100 other million. We only have 20 impacted basins, so that could be about $40 million per basin. That would go a long way to probably paying for all of this, and then we wouldn't have more taxes. Mr. Senior made a comment about CAPSLO, and I just want to comment, we're in a housing crisis. I've been an affordable housing advocate for about 15 years here, and it has gotten to the point where all the people that manage properties have long lists of waiting people. There's nothing available out here, folks. We have a disaster happening. Regarding the utilities department, I think they did a great job. on the report, it was clear that we're using 61 gallons per person indoor, so we have some room to conserve more, and that's a good thing. And I think Ann's done a great job of bringing these things and putting them on in FUDART administrative level 3, getting all those on the website. And I would like to for you to put a link to each committee when you send out those reports. Just send a link to the report that's already on there for that committee, and that will help us as be better informed public when we go to these utilities committees, the finance committee, the emergency service, and so on like that. So I think you did a really good job, and I understood that pretty well. So we need to save a little bit more, and Rob Miller is telling me that, he says we're going to have the seawater intrusion report sometime in December. That's going to be a big report for us, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you all. Doing a good job.
Okay. Thank you. Next speaker, please. Next speaker.
Good evening again. Julie Tacker. And Mr. Seitz, you didn't say where the meetings would be held, and I hope you'll answer that question. And maybe a time of day. I know you said sometime in December, but I'm hopeful it's in Los Osos. Ms. Kibley's report, she spoke to some administrative items, and she said she was busy with payroll and getting vendors paid on time. I think that goes without saying. I don't think you have to talk about that. That better be happening. My only concern with the vendors being paid on time is that tonight you're approving two warrant packets. And I understood that until those warrant packets are approved by the board, those vendors shouldn't be paid. So I don't know how you can do both. She said something about being busy with legal claims we're filing and records requests associated with it. What's that? What legal claims is the district filing? And what kind of records do you need from whom? Mr. Storm's report about the Finance Committee meeting and the comment about the auditor not knowing that we don't use QuickBooks. I read that passage in his comments as a typographical error. I'm sure he knows you don't use QuickBooks, and simply reminding him would have sufficed, or asking that be edited, because he did send corrections. That would have been more appropriate than blaming the auditor for some sort of error. And that comment was not only made by a Finance Committee member, but your general manager disparaged the auditor in blaming him and said that we'll be getting a new one next year, which your board has already made that decision, that the 5 years or the 7 years or the 3 years, whatever formula you use to hire new auditors, their term is up. But if they really were at fault, why wouldn't your general manager have brought that to you when the audit came out and said, hey, rather than engage them, because you engaged them the very next, that night at the same meeting, if she had a problem with the auditor, why didn't she just say, hey, let's go out for RFP? Instead, she re-engaged. So I don't think you can blame the auditor for the bad audit.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I'm Lindy Owen. I wanted to first ask Margaret, I guess I was curious how the 50-gallon-a-day limit per person process has been working, and if it was 61%, that would probably mean that 11% aren't meeting the 50% minimum. I'm just curious because it's quite a challenge for many of us, and my household, we're pretty proud. Again, the basin management meeting in December, the committee meeting. Is there any way to know who's on that committee, or is this a group decision to see who's on it? And where will it be noticed, and where will it be held? Should I just put out my points now? Again, and with the LOCAC report, I just wanted to add that was of much concern, and there is an article in the or a letter to the editor in the Bay News, the 32-uke tree removal permit. The meeting was never noticed to the public. Therefore, the only people that came to speak their concern about the eucalyptus removal were word of mouth. So I'm sorry, but that is a failure of LOCAC to actually bring that to the full public for the hearing, and people will have to go to the Planning Commission to voice their concerns. And I also wanted to say I was at the meeting. Two of the five that voted to support removal of those trees and the permit were concerned over fire safety because it was close to a school, and that is not actually a real situation. And nine people in the public opposed removal of these trees. One person spoke for removal. So just wanted on the record, this, if it had been noticed, it would have been a huge turnout. Without noticing the public, you will never have that happen. And I'm just very pleased that we're going to go back to the once-a-month meetings. I think that's extremely important, and it's a shame that we allowed that to turn into once every 3 months. On the Finance Advisory Committee, I just want to remind you that there's a big concern about the internal controls that have not been operating in our accounting system and our methods. So I bring that back to the GM. She is supposed to know better. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Peggy Pathick. I'm just really glad to hear that we're going back to the South Bay Community Center. That's great news. Wish it could be sooner, but that's great. Also, I'd like to speak to the remodel of the Water Ops building, the 8th Street facility. Please reconsider the capital improvement project for 8th Street facility. Even if it is a pay-as-you-go scheme, this level of extravagance is not justified. Unless and until you have other sources of revenue and not just the water rate payers, this community cannot afford the out-of-control spending. I don't know what Rob Miller and Mr. Seitz and Ms. Kibley were thinking about. What was District Engineer Rob Miller thinking about to give this project a green light? Let's not forget, Rob is employed by the very corrupt Wallace Group. I can understand updating a bathroom at that facility, but this remodel goes above and beyond that. According to the fiscal year 2015-2016 budget, what's being proposed for this project is not only unwarranted and frivolous, but a total waste of ratepayer money. What's proposed is a bathroom, kitchen, break area, and office renovation. That's just phase one. Phase two includes a patio cover and more office space renovation. Phase three includes remodeling the shop. There is absolutely no need for a kitchen at that facility. This crew is there to do their jobs, not be hosting luncheons and dinner parties. The water crew does not work 24/7 shifts like firefighters, so there's absolutely no need for a kitchen and certainly no need for a covered patio. Also, did any of you ever consider the fact that a new modular can be purchased for far less than what you're squandering on this remodel? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Next speaker, we have another speaker. Please step forward.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. As a water rate payer in the CSD district, I fully support remodeling the building. I have never worked anywhere where there wasn't a kitchen or a break room.
Please, in the audience,
You know, here we are again.
We're just talking about being civil and respecting people at the microphone. So people in the back, would you please not talk or make rude gestures? Thank you.
Anyway, it's sad that the ladies left and this happened so quickly. But anyway, I fully support remodeling that building. I think our employees are the most valuable thing we have. I think they have made do with a very, very long time, and I think it's time that they got something better. And also, I feel the same about our other employees. They work for us, they work hard, and they shouldn't be dismissed the way they are sometimes by people here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers, please?
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. Maybe we should put a bedroom over there, too, in case somebody needs a room, you know. Sounds good to me. I don't even hear a lot of this stuff, and I watch these meetings, like, too much. I can probably say everything you say, because I see them a few times. And, I don't know, things aren't going right. I just want them to be better. And I want us to get along, but if we can't get along, then we shouldn't have a CSD. I don't understand why we're paying the county and you guys. You know, we just don't have it, and everybody wants something. We don't have it. There's only so many ratepayers. And you can't go and make the ratepayers on Bayview because it doesn't go in front of their house. Also, I'd like to know who's going to pay for it when my house floods because of what they did up on the behind Highland. Has any of you men walked behind there? Just the last rain brought stuff down to my house. It's flooding my neighbor's house. Who do I go talk to about that? I've already talked to the county engineer. I've had him over twice. And I'm just flabbergasted because now I'm in danger when I didn't need to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. First of all, finance was very contentious, but I think Director Storm handled, I think he handled the meeting excellently, personally. We got through it without having to gavel it a stoppage or discontinue the meeting. But I think Finance and Utilities Committee, when they do this mid-year budget review, have to have a serious discussion and a look at where we are revenue-wise compared to the projections in the rate study. The rate study, the purpose of that rate study was to fund, the emphasis of that study was to fund the basin plan projects. I think you're going to be really surprised when you look at where we're at and what the projections are compared to that study, compared to the amount of money we need to accomplish what needs to be done in the next few years. And I think that may be an emphasis for you second half of this year. I wish you'd give direction to staff to bring back some more information on that, some more numbers, because those that have been on this board a long time know that on average, there's a certain percentage of the water revenue that comes in the first 6 months and a certain percentage that comes in the last 6 months, and it's not 50-50. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing none? Okay. Any comment from staff on questions?
In terms of where and when and on what night the Basin Management Committee is going to meet, I don't have an answer to that. I believe that that will become known probably sometime after or at the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting.
No.
No?
Mr. Olhulski, you want to weigh in on that?
I think that first of all, the members of the committee will have to be selected, and then they'll determine where and when the meeting is going to be held.
Well,
I'm just...
Yeah, but it's a chicken and the egg problem with that, Marshall. So the I believe that the staffing that is going towards momentum to get this thing going, we'll be discussing where they'll be meeting and on what date. And I think part of that discussion will be taking place in short order. But, you know, we'll give at least the notice that's required by the Brown Act. Right. I'm hoping that we'll give more notice than that.
I think that's everybody's intent to make it transparent as possible. But I just don't know that until the actual members are selected that that decision can be made is all I'm saying. So,
we'll talk.
Okay. Any comments from the board? Okay, seeing none, get a motion to accept the committee reports and the consent agenda, except items D, F, and G. Motion, please.
I'll move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and to approve the consent agenda with the exception of items 11D, 11F, and 11G.
Thank you. Get a second, please.
Second.
Okay. First and second. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Storm?
Storm.
I'm very sorry.
It was a race.
Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Now we'll move on to item 12, general action item. Award bid for 16th Street tank maintenance coating spot repair. Staff, is this Margaret? Thank you.
Okay. The item before you this evening is to award contract to the lowest responsible bidder for the 16th Street tank maintenance coating spot repairs project. Advantage Technical Services Incorporated is a specialty engineering firm located in San Luis Obispo, and your board authorized them to begin the formal bid process at our August meeting. I'd like you to meet Will Bellis. He's here in the back. He's the engineer there. And I brought him, and we asked him to come tonight in case you have any technical questions about the project itself. But he went ahead, did the formal bid process. They had a mandatory pre-bid conference that took place at the site on October 6th. And an addendum was issued that extended the bid opening date to the 20th of October instead of the 14th. And the bids were opened at the district office at 2 o'clock on the 20th. And they were reviewed by ATS. And Paso Robles Tank is the contractor recommended for the job. And if you have any questions, Will's right there.
Okay, questions?
Yeah. I think that there's a typo in the motion. Because up above, when you talk about the bid price, it was $32,000, but in the motion it says $37,000.
Yeah, that's built in the contingency.
That's the $5,000 contingency?
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify which number we're speaking about.
Just so we don't have to come back if
okay. No, that's fine. I just wanted to understand that.
Sure.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, just real quick. It says it's coded to Water Fund 500. Can you tell me which specific category, if you can, is this under infrastructures and improvements?
Well, the general contingency reserve is going to help fund this. This is really kind of a maintenance project.
So it's coming out of reserve.
Well, we would. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I guess I just have a...
go ahead.
For the engineer, I have a question in regards to... I know some of this work is on the interior, so I'm assuming that the water level has to come down. It's not flushed out. It's just what, we just use it and we don't pump it up back in?
Actually, it's all exterior work.
Oh, it's no interior. Okay, because it says interior in the report. So, okay, it's all exterior. Okay, takes care of that question. No diving.
He already did that.
Question.
Okay, any other questions from the board?
Yeah, you are going to start this work approximately, well, what time of what month or what time of the day?
We would be giving them notice to proceed here in the next couple of weeks, I imagine. So okay. That would begin the project.
Okay. I live across the street. You'll wake up my cat, but that's okay.
We will be sending out letters to the local.
And how long is the project? How many days?
It should just be a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks? Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to make sure I understand. The money is going to come from the general contingency reserve at year end. We don't have money in the water department reserves or contingencies to...
Actually, I believe that it is budgeted under the infrastructures and improvements because it's going to have to be capitalized, the additional cost is, and so it should be budgeted in a 9,000 account. I would need, however, to go back and look at the original item that we brought before you because that detailed all that information. And I can check that out and then send out a note so that you know exactly where it's coming from.
That would be appreciated.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll open this up for public comment.
Lynette Tornotsky, Los Osos. I would just request that color be considered. It's faded quite a bit. We live right across from the tanks, and so I hope that the paint color would be matched to the paint color that it is now, not the color that it was when it was painted on the tank, just because I have to look at it every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Any other comments from the board before we make a motion?
I have a question. Director Tornowski, you live across the street. Do you believe that you have or will gain any financial impact, whether positive or negative, from this project?
It will be neutral. I have no
microphone.
I haven't a clue.
That's the standard. So, but I can't make that decision for you. So it's.
I have no problem with the project.
Well, the question is: are you have a financial conflict interest in the project, i.e., property value?
I have no financial interest in the project.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Okay.
Okay. With that, he's cleared to vote. Is that what you're saying? Thank you.
Yeah, it's his decision.
It's your decision to vote or not. Because of your proximity. Okay. So can I get a motion, please, to...
I move that the board award the maintenance coating spot repairs contract to Paso Robles Tank for an amount not to exceed $37,462.50 for the 16th Street water tanks.
Second, please.
Second.
Okay, get a roll call, please.
2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
I think the person who lives closest trumps.
Yeah, well, oh, Jesus. Mr. Tornowski, second.
Director Storm.
Yes.
Director Tornowski.
Yes.
Director Cesania.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Wright.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes number 12. So now we'll move on to number 13, discussions of pulled consent items. The first one is D, received statement of revenue and expenditures through September 30th, 2015. Mr. Cesania.
Okay, my first question, I guess, was answered when we got a reserve statement handed to us today, because I was looking for one in there. But I have a question about the reserve statement in that this is effective June 30th, 2015. Under the fire fund, line 3110, there's a beginning balance as of 6/30/2013 of $247,962. Our reserve statement from June 30th, 2014, a year ago, gave that same item 3110 a beginning balance of $298,705. So, in other words, the June 2014 statement claimed that there were almost $300,000 in the vehicle replacement reserve. And a year later, that replacement reserve is down to $247,962. How could it decrease unless there was money spent out of the replacement reserve? That's the question on the reserve statement.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I had more. I'm just giving you reasons why I'm not going to be able to support this. I was looking through an accounting manual that talked about this illustrative comprehensive annual financial report, and it kind of gave a breakdown of how things should look on your reports. Basically, revenues, expenditures, and then other financing sources where you find transfers in and transfers out, but ours are always lumped into expenditures, I think, according to the way I'm reading these. Which raises just maybe a minor question, maybe it's all stylistic, but if you look at the page 2 of this report, total transfers, all the way down near the end, just above net revenues over expenditures, is a transfer, total transfer, $577,878, I guess, into general fund, but I can't find any other funds where the money was transferred out of. There's no transfer line for any of the other funds, and so I get confused about things like that.
Excuse me, might I ask a question? Are you talking about the budgeted number? What's budgeted for the year?
Yes.
Okay. May I address the transfers? The transfers are only completed at the end, as we get closer to the end of the year, when there's enough cash in each one of the funds to make the transfer available to the admin fund. And that's when you see those expenditures recorded.
It seems that we do a lot of waiting till the end of the year and then trying to square things around to make it fit, rather than the way we used to do things was monthly. There was an administrative allocation taken monthly instead of waiting until the end of the year. These things were done on a monthly basis. That way you had a cash flow projection monthly. We haven't seen that in 2 years. And I'll stop there. I'm just not going to support
this. Excuse me. That would be, we presented to you this time an analysis of where each one of the funds are at.
Oh, yeah.
The problem that you have with this at this point is we're living on prior year's revenues. And the reason that we're living on prior year's revenues is because we don't get the majority of our revenue until after the taxes are paid at the month of December. So that means that what we do is we live on what we have in reserve as far as cash goes, not the reserves themselves because they're in a trust account, but the reserves that are in the general checking account, the money that's left over from prior years.
Things have always been that way. And speaking of that, we don't know what happened to the extra, the monies that we had the surpluses from previous years. We have no accounting of where any of that money is from 2013 year, I believe.
The 2013-14 is here.
Excuse me. We did get a little cash analysis handed out at the Financial Advisory Committee meeting. I can't make hide or hair of it. This is what we used to get, 2 pages worth monthly of where the checking account was, where each fund balance was. Maybe it can be summarized in half a page. I don't know. I made copies for everyone. If you want to see this, the way things used to be provided, we're not getting that service.
Comment.
You want to comment?
You want to comment, Mike? Microphone.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question of Director Cecina while he's coming up, though? This reserve statement we got today, that's not really relevant to this discussion since this is as of July 1st. And everything we're looking at here is subsequent to July 1st. Am I misunderstanding something?
Well, perhaps. I guess that was just the question, the first question.
Okay, so...
Okay. That was just the first question that popped into my mind when I looked at this, and then I see this handed out, so I thought, okay, maybe that was supposed to be part of that package.
Okay,
I still like to know how the fire fund, the replacement.
I understand that question, but I'm just trying to follow your discussion here on item D. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Doyle.
Over the last few weeks, what I've been doing is I've been looking at the prior year's information that has been submitted to you guys at the board level from our prior accountants. What I was comparing it was I wanted to see what the board information was versus what our actual books indicated, what our financial software indicated. If they matched, then there would be no argument at all about either errors or inaccuracies or anything like that. It would put that to bed. It would put that whole idea to rest. However, my investigation has determined that there was some discrepancies between the information that was reported to the board and the information that is in the financial software. There is absolutely no dispute about that. Now, the information you might have been receiving on a monthly basis, like you're referring to, was inaccurate. So what good is it, really, when you stop and think about it? The information you were receiving was inaccurate, or maybe not inaccurate, but it was not the same information as what was in our financial books at that time frame. It just wasn't.
And yet we got unqualified audits for those periods.
Sir, if you create anything out of thin air, then that's what can happen. It does not matter if the information is provided to the auditors. The only information they have is the information that's provided to them. They have no other backup source to go to. It did not match the books. It didn't.
Okay. Any other comments? Any other comments from the board? No? Okay, we'll open this up for public comment.
I would like to hear the pages you're talking about when you refer to this specifically so we can follow along. In terms of the board has the oversight over our financial transactions, and the Finance Advisory Committee looks at this stuff. Despite of all those great cortexes that have been examining all of this, we still came back with a front page error in our audit, the local paper. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but when the county auditor, by the way, the county auditor Erb is an auditor as well, okay? When he states that his employees are highly qualified, such as AMPI, who made the a lot of the financial stuff for the district for the last, I don't know, 2012 and 13 or something. But, you know, that was the information that was criticized. I have a real problem with the fact that we're going to sweep this under the table. I haven't heard who is the committee yet, if the committee has been formed, that's going to investigate this, because I was told that you are going to, you have either are going to appoint one or have appointed a independent investigator. Is that correct?
On the finances?
Yes. On
the audit?
For the audit.
No.
No.
Not on the audit.
No.
No.
Interesting. Okay. So the situation that I see is that you got the oversight, she's got the oversight, he's got the oversight, and we're still in the situation where we get a report back from an auditor, and I've talked to the auditing company, and they seem pretty straightforward to me. And, you know, they would be happy to see an investigation, but they're getting the blame for this audit. And as the accountant pointed out, they can only go by the information they're given. And that's what they did. And with that information, they came back with a report and they gave 9 points on it. It said, you've done this, 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 and this. And the internal controls are broken. You've heard this before tonight. The internal controls, I went to the state auditor, and they sent me back a PDF with the explanation of the internal controls. And you're in business. You know about it. You know, you have to have somebody else look at entries in the books, and you have to have some oversight. And if you don't have the staff to do it, you have to hire them. But I think the point is, if you don't do internal controls in your book work, then you have a real problem that you need to correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Okay. This was handed out. So this is, I don't know what item this is, but does everybody have a copy of it? Okay. Look at the Wastewater Enterprise Fund. Beginning balance, $1,407,000. A use of $9,400,000. Use of $1,405,000. Total fiscal year 13-14. I think you can look at those. 3191. Yeah. If you look across there, there's no way that adds up in anybody's math. Modern math, primitive math, grade school math, calculator, non-calculator. And Chuck brought up these two statements. How come for the same budget period, they can have a different starting balance for the same budget period? Okay, that proven. Chuck brought up the transfers to administration. I want somebody to show me in the water fund, which is this agenda item, what line item is transferred to administration? The breakouts have to tie back. They have to tie back. This is what needs to happen, gentlemen. I can go on and on with these. You can't approve these tonight. You shouldn't have been approving them for months. These are not accurate financial statements. First of all, the setup is wrong, and the numbers are wrong. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Julie Tacker, and the letter from AMPI to your board recently described the books as a bowl of spaghetti. I don't think you can analogize it any better. Just what the little bit that Chuck's talked about, little bit that Richard's talked about. Marshall, you pointed out that why would you bring this up, Chuck? Well, because it's now part of the packet. It has this agenda item on it. The recommendation is to receive and file. What are you going to do now? I would hope that you do not receive and file. And clearly, there is something wrong in the accounting division of this district. And you need to find someone to untangle the bowl of spaghetti. You need an independent voice now. Because clearly, we've been saying things have been wrong for months or years now, and the audit proves something's wrong, and now you're torn between, you know, your dedicated staff and what the actual reports from the auditor who was supposed to be independent eyes on this. What are you going to do now? You are the fiduciaries of the district, and you have to unravel the bowl of spaghetti. And it has to stop tonight. Do not receive and file this. Take action to seek a new set of eyes, whatever it is, a new consultant to look over the books. And because it sounds, now it's like his word against her word, or old accountants versus new accountants. Put an end to it. You must put an end to it, or this is just going to deteriorate the community and erode our confidence in our board. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lindy Owen, I've been attending so many years of meetings that, and I've never seen the questions about the accounting and the ledgers and the mistakes and errors as I have seen in the last year and a half since this whole process with the new general manager was set up. And what I note now is there's accusations that it's the auditors that are wrong, and it's the past accountants that were wrong. And I just, following the sixth sense, when I know that people like Richard and Ms. Tacker both know enough about the finances to catch this stuff, they're not standing up to go after Ms. Kivley. They're standing up because there's a mess and the problems are not being straightened out. And I'm seriously, I don't know why you can't get an outside person to come in and find out. I mean, at the finance meeting, part of the reason that finances, that they cannot get their accounting in on time is because they're short-staffed. Is that an excuse that you would accept from a competent manager? I can't hire anybody to help me, so we're just going to do what we can, and sorry, it's not complete. This is month after month after month. So I will agree, you need to get somebody else to look at who's wrong here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. You know, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I completely disagree with the prior speaker about nobody's raised a fuss about the books. I seem to remember in 2006, going to finance advisory committees, 2006, 2007, there was quite a bit of controversy about how the books were. Now, the whole point is the bowl.
Hey, please,
you know,
back.
You guys, I don't do this to you.
This is your warning. This is the warning. I'm going to ask you to leave next time. Excuse me.
Thank you. The bowl of spaghetti. Well, I guess when you have different Excel sheets and everything, there's going to be a bowl of spaghetti. We've had this accounting software since 2004. Why didn't any of the prior boards do anything, like use it? So we're in this mess right now only because we're changing from messy Excel sheets into actual accounting software. If you look online and look any place where there are people who do accounting, Excel is not the way you do it. So we're finally using professional software. It's like, did we think there would be problems? Of course there would be problems. But to make it out into a hit piece against staff is disgusting. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Sandra Hedges again. I'm sorry. I disagree with her totally. It's in black and white. Like true is true and false is false. There's no string. And we've been having trouble ever since day one of this CSD. Just look back. We had $1 million stolen the first time. How many people are in this pot with their hands? You know, if this is right and stuff, somebody's messed up, and it takes more than one person that's not on the staff to find it. Something's wrong, guys, really. And I wish you'd get down to business. And you? You look fantastic. You must have lost weight. That's about it. What you do.
Okay, with that. Mr. Storm? No. Any comments?
I don't have any diet tips. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Any more public comment? Okay, any more public comment? Okay. Seeing none, bring it back, staff.
I do have one more comment that I want to make. I want to make it abundantly clear that I'm not putting anybody at fault for anything that has occurred in the past, whether or not it's some of the accountants that worked before I was here, whether or not that was Ampey or Dale or anybody else prior to that. All I'm telling you is the situation that I inherited and the situation which I'm trying to rectify. I'm stating simple facts that I can provide proof of, evidence of, to everything I have said, as far as whether or not the board information versus the information I have in MIP. There's absolutely no argument about it. I can print it up and provide it, no problem. Okay, so that's not the issue. I'm here, I've got hired and I got tasked to do a job. My job is to ensure the financial stability of this district and to do the books properly, and that's what I'm attempting to do. I believe that the responsibility that I have is second only to Ms. Kivlu's responsibility, because she oversees every operation that's in the district. That's the ultimate responsibility there. But my responsibility also is, I take it at heart, I take very much pride in my work that I do. I believe that our books going forward are going to be tremendously better after we get the bowl of spaghetti that you guys are referring to fixed or rectified. Absolutely. We're definitely on the way to do that.
Shut the fuck up. I'm fucking sick of you people.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Okay.
Sorry, Al.
To bring it back. Any other comments?
Mr. President?
Yes.
You know, Director Cesena and I have had our disagreements in the past, but we have to be allowed to ask questions. I mean, that's our job here, and I think that's what he was trying to do, and I think the tone of the response was a little overboard. But I wanted to ask What exactly does receive and file mean? If it's merely a ministerial thing where we're just taking the document in, and this kind of bears on when we get to number G as well, you know, that's one thing. If it's putting our stamp of approval on it, you know, then that's another thing that I don't understand why we didn't have, you know, we'll talk about that with G. But, you know, if it's just say, thanks, we saw this, that's one thing. So I guess I'm confused about what receive and file means.
Well, in that department, Mr. Seitz, can you make that definition?
Right. Well, the agenda item refers to whether or not it's an action item or just a receive and file. If you took an action to approve the report, that would be a separate item other than receive and file. So
no, but that's not the question.
Okay. Well, no, what he's asking is whether receive and file constitutes an approval of the report.
Well, yeah, or at least an implicit one, because then if we get something and we don't receive and file it, what's the effect of it? I mean, what's the difference between something that we get and we don't do this to versus something that we do?
I don't know.
Honest answer.
May I make a comment?
Yes,
the
please.
Idea behind receive and file from staff's perspective is to have you take a look at something, and if you see something that doesn't look right, it's to point it out to us so that we can correct that when we do the next report for you. All receive and file does is say you receive the document and we're filing it away. We look at it as an opportunity for you to give us some feedback.
Okay. Any other comments? Chuck, you got anything?
I was just wondering, do we ever approve these kind of things, or are they always receive and file? Because if we never approve them, then receiving and filing them is approving them, in my mind.
Yes. Well, you know, we vote on a budget.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the level of difference we're talking about. But...
And I do appreciate you making the comment tonight. You are absolutely correct. The transfers are missing from the balance of the information. And so that means that the budget that was put in did not affect the 15-16 year, and those budgets will, that budget amount will have to be re-entered. The total transfers, however, are showing in the administrative fund. It shows that at this point you're transferring in from all the funds $570 some thousand. So in the individual funds, that will have to be corrected.
Well, I think you can understand our reticence of if that's the case, then I don't know.
Well, as far as I see, too, if you don't receive and file, we need to give them direction to come back with corrections. So I think we need to solidify what we're asking them to come back, research, come back, and correct.
I mean, line by line?
Not line by line, but I mean...
We used to do this in the Finance Committee.
Well, I mean, for starters, we could go with
right, the transfers. Yeah, fixing the transfers, and that is not an issue. The other question that you raised earlier, Mr. Cesena, Director Cesena, with regards to the beginning balance for June 30th of 2013. I really cannot address that. All I can address is what was in the books at the time relative to what we found in our computer system and how it balances out to date with what's in the cash reserves in the trust fund. So that's what they were as of June 30th, 2013. I cannot tell you if that was right before that date. I can tell you, however, with regards to the sinking fund, that the chief and I did sit down and do a detailed analysis together of all the costs and the expenses and all the money that was supposed to be in there, and we do agree that that is a good balance.
Okay, so here is the decision point. Do we receive and file, or do we request more details to be brought back to the next meeting? I need to get a sense of the board through a motion.
You know, Mr. President, I appreciate your comment about, you know, we need to give instruction about what we want in it, and so I have to be honest, I didn't remember everything Director Cesena asked, and I'm being self-centered and just focusing on my own questions, so it's hard for me to remember all of those things, but I guess I would try to move that we ask that this be done over according to our discussion now.
But certainly I didn't point out, I think everything that I had a
question
about. I don't
think you should have to.
It would take too long. And that's my point. I'm not even on the Financial Advisory Committee.
Well, I think then that would be, that's one possibility, is that this be reworked and
brought
back to FAC.
I don't think this is the place to red pen the financial reports.
No.
So I think I'm just going to say let's not, I move that we don't accept this right now.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please. Wait, comment? Okay, sorry. I'm not sure
what the motion means. Put it that we don't accept it. You're saying that we don't receive and file it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So, in other words, it's the same motion, but you're making the no motion instead of the yes motion.
Yeah, thank you. I'm being negative.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
Yeah. So...
Okay, but along with that, though, is there that defines that there's action that we want the staff to take? And, I mean, we need at least a direction on what we want staff to do.
Bring us an accurate report.
That's open-ended. Okay. Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Let's have a vote.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Tarnotsky?
No.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Go ahead.
Follow up. I think where I'm coming from on this is that there were comments made tonight that I would expect to be addressed, okay? If those comments are addressed, then my vote goes the other way. So I'm not asking you to recreate the wheel here, but to address the comments that were raised this evening.
Same here.
Can I have a point of order, Chair?
In what regard, sir?
I'm hard of hearing.
Yes.
And people talking in the background, interrupting, make it impossible for me to follow what's going on in the meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'll remind the audience to please be quiet. It affects the audience, it affects us up here too, so thank you. Okay, let's move on to 11F. Mr. Cesena.
I guess just given the current climate, the destruction of any records makes me nervous. And I'm looking through and I see water maintenance records and things like that that don't seem important, but there's also payroll reports and timesheets, and I guess I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, any other comments?
Does this vary in any way from our existing document retention policy?
No, it does not. It matches your existing policy as it stands today.
Thank you.
Well, I have an issue with some of the policy. The audio recordings being lost after 3 months, 90 days, that's no time at all. If someone, I mean, you can have a question about something that was raised 4 months ago and we don't have a record of it.
Okay, another question, please.
Yeah, can I get some clarification here? Because if we look at Exhibit A, it says LOCSD retention years, and pick any number you want, 7, 5, or 2, whatever you want. But then let's just take bids agreements for purchases, the second one. It says 2010, 2011. If I add 5 years to that, then I'm at 2016. So what am I missing here? And this is only 2015.
Is this as of January 1st, or is it as of now? I guess that,
no.
I mean, if it was January 1st.
This is as of January 1st.
That makes sense, then.
Everything's as of January 1st. It's just our job to bring it to you during at this meeting.
Isn't the end of the 2010-2011 year June 30th, 2011? Therefore, 5 years would be June 30th, 2016.
Okay, can you comment on that, please? Because it does say all records through fiscal year or date. So what's that define out? That column is all records through fiscal year or date. So it's either the fiscal year or the date listed. Is that what that says?
I'd have to go back and I don't have the policy right here with me. I'd have to go back and look at that. Because I'd have to look at what your actual policy states.
Okay.
I have no problem approving in accordance with our policy, but I just need that clarification, I guess, from my own perspective. So,
you wish to...
Well, if you'd like, you can continue this to the next meeting, and we will get clarification on the policy for you.
And I think that is a good idea. Any more comment on that? Yeah, I will. Okay. With that, we'll move on to public comment on 11F.
Go, girl. Lindy Owen. I believe while your general manager is under investigation, you don't want to destroy anything from the last 5 to 6 years. And I think there's reason to hold on to it for at least 6 more months. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Peggy Pavick. Yeah, with all the specious activities going on within the board, how could you possibly justify destroying district records? I don't think it's a good move.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Julie Tacker, and I would ask that you also bring the policy back when you bring this item back. I've said this many times here and other agencies. In this day of digital that we live in, everything can be broken down to a bit or a zip or a gig or a whatever. There's no reason we need to destroy anything. Sure, paper copies, but keeping an electronic file of anything you do, everything you do, can be saved with minimal storage. And I would encourage you to look at the policy and really save everything.
Thank you. Next speaker.
I have a question. My name is Al Barrow. Why this is on the agenda to begin with? It just strikes me, and we've had a very turmoiled history in this district. And, you know, if you need some storage space, I'll be glad to offer my garage. And I know these are boxes full of papers, and I know that a lot of the digital stuff didn't really become digital, so I don't think these are digital files, but if they were, that would be nice. So I really don't see any productivity in destroying the files or any urgency in that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Sandra Hedges, I agree with the last speakers. I don't think anything should be destroyed. I don't even destroy any of my own bills. And I got drawers of them. So I think it should be about 6 months, maybe closer to a year, before we find out everything about this woman and what we've been going through. And we have not had a good track record since day one. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lynette Tornatsky Los Osos. You know, it isn't, I don't get what this is a big deal about. It's like all this trumped up stuff. The past 2 years, there have been certain people who have tried to get Ms. Kively fired. So, of course, any excuse to bring forward some problem that she has supposedly caused turns into this big deal about destroying some freaking records. I mean, we do it all the time. There's nothing new about this. There's a policy. If you want to review the policy, fine. But I really object to people making this be a platform for them to accuse Ms. Kively of wrongdoing. It's really just wrong.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Based on the last comment, not every one of us take volumes and volumes of notes. We rely on the audio and the written and typed record that's available when we make a records request. I really have a problem with the destroying the audios, the short nature of destroying audios. I mean, those are the easiest to store of anything. And as I said at, I think it was finance meeting, we're at the point, or I'm at the point, where I'm going to start what we used to do during Move the Sewer and videotaping, having a still camera in the room. I think it's getting to be that time. We need that record for the future. There's things that are said in those meetings by staff, general manager, that if they're destroyed, then it's, you know, your word against my word. You don't attend all the meetings, the committee meetings. You get reports here. The minutes don't reflect what's what goes on at those meetings, missing audio tapes in the future that we could go back to prove some of the things that staff is asserting now that are wrong with the financial statements. And anyway, I really have a problem with destroying any audio. And don't be surprised if the next committee meeting is videotaped.
Okay, thank you. I want to have any more speakers? No. Before we, I want to suspend this just for a minute. We're at 10 o'clock. We need to have a motion to continue past 10 o'clock, or we'll have to continue this and any other items. So do I have a motion to move beyond 10 o'clock?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Okay. We have no second. So at this time, I'm going to have to close the meeting out, and we continue these items to the next. Or how does that work?
In
terms of... Let me see where it's written.
Yeah, please. For purposes of the discussion, I'll second it for this item we're discussing now, just to finish this item. And then once you're done with your research, we can...
We need a motion on this. Okay.
I'm seconding his motion. Will you take that amendment, Chuck, so at least we can finish this item?
The audit needs to be discussed.
While he's researching the...
I have no problem going past 10, but we need to discuss this.
Well, either if he doesn't, then we're done.
Did we continue?
Yeah.
And I second it in the context of finishing this item only, pending his research.
This item being
just doing it. But his second is contingent upon you accepting the amendment that
I'm just saying to finish 11F and 11F. Then let John, or pardon me, Michael, research that issue. Otherwise, okay. I mean, that's my second.
Do you accept that or not?
I really don't want to let go of the audit findings for another month. I mean, this is out there. We're getting beat up in the paper constantly. I just say we resolve these things as quickly as we can.
Okay, I'll second without amendment.
Okay, so we have a motion to continue and a second. Can I have a vote, please?
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Director Storm.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Wright.
Yes. Okay, we'll continue past 10 o'clock. So we can bring it back to 11F.
We're done with...
With public comments, over, bring it back to the board.
Okay. I appreciate the comments by the public, but again, my concern, and I'm supportive of the motion to continue this, is I would just like to see how this relates to our existing policy before I vote on it. So that's my only clarification here. So,
well, my understanding also is that to continue this to the next meeting with a policy review of the records management schedule or procedure. So is that something that can be done, or do we have to agendize that separately?
We can agendize it as one whole item. We'll put one next to the other, A and B.
Okay. It's fair. Okay. So can we get a motion to that effect?
Yes. So I'll just move that the board continue. I'm sorry. I've got the wrong thing here in front of me. I apologize. I move that the board continue resolution 2015-28. And let me make two motions if I can. I'll move that the board continue resolution 2015-28. That's my first motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Get a vote, please.
Vice President Nohilski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes. Okay,
thank you.
Director or Vice President.
Now, if I understand that where the board wants to go is to bring, and I think this is direction, it's not a motion, but to bring back at our next meeting, along with this, a review of our records management and retention policy.
Correct.
So that's the direction. I don't know if you need it. I assume you don't need a motion. We just need a consensus. Or do you want a motion?
We have a consensus.
Sure. Consensus.
Okay, we have a consensus. Right. That'll be on the next agenda.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. Now we have 11G. Mr. Sasania.
I am troubled by the names that continually appear in here. There was much said today about blame. That's all I see in here. There was a strong enough reaction from Mr. Erb when AMPI was mentioned, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper here. I have a lot of problems with, well, we didn't have time, we were understaffed. I understand that the accounting cash balances and that kind of thing were behind at the time. By 9 months is my understanding from Ms. Lynn. Then why did we spend all the time going back to 2004 to correct records and reconcile and all of those things? Why did we spend all that time to cure problems that didn't result in a qualified audit? And we didn't have time to take care of the last 2 years, and we got a qualified audit. So I'm not even going to touch trying to approve this.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the board before public comment?
I'm too fried to figure out what to say.
Any other? No? Okay. With that, we'll open up to public comment on 11G.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. You know, I don't think Jim Erb had all the facts. He certainly didn't have the details that are in all the books. He was defending someone who worked for him for a long time. I don't see what's in here as accusations. It's just fact. People make mistakes. Big deal. It doesn't mean they're horrible people. That doesn't mean AMPI is a horrible person. She just did it a different way than is required to be done, and that's all it is. So all these stories, it's very troubling to see all these stories making this big thing out of something that just isn't. And I find going back to 2004, well, why not? I mean, all the years I've been coming to these meetings, everybody was saying, we need a forensic audit, we need to go back in the books and find out where all the money went. Well, okay, now we've done it. Now everybody's mad. It's like you can't have it both ways. So anyway, I just think that this report was very clear. It said exactly what happened. It wasn't judgmental. It's simply fact. That's all it is. So let's not make it into something it's not just because the newspapers did. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Peggy Pavick. Yeah, I was really disturbed with this report. It's just blame. And I must say, reading this, it really appears as though Ms. Kivley has been very well coached by Attorney Seitz. The lame excuse of blaming others, staff turnover, and lack of district oversight is ludicrous. What the hell has she been doing all this time? Isn't that part of her job description? District oversight? I mean, that's what she's getting paid to do, and she puts the blame on others for lack of oversight? That makes no sense. Just like Well, I won't even go there at this point, but with your investigation, let's not have any cover-ups.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lindy Owen, I think it wasn't time. This was simply getting the records back on track. I don't think going back to 2004 was mandated, and if it took that much time, why didn't they hire extra staff? And remember that we have a bad audit, and we may not get grants and funding that we direly need. That's what I want to know about. I think you're going to have to, if this is he said, she said, you're going to have to hire an outside investigator to see if the auditor lied or if Ms. Kivley and her assistant have got it wrong. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Julie Tacker. Marshall, I remember when your board, I think you were the chair at the time, did a big write-off. So anything before that write-off shouldn't have been touched. Shouldn't be digging around back there, because that starts the calendar over again. That's where the books begin. So I don't know why we were all the way back there, certainly wasting time and causing a bowl of spaghetti for us now. My current question right now is, where is your unrestricted fund balances and the cash balances per fund? I cannot tell if this district is even solvent. I can't tell. Can you? So, with regard to Mr. Erb, Mr. Erb interviewed the auditor. I think he had plenty of information. What I don't see, first of all, I don't know where the direction came from, and I wrote your board a letter this week to produce this document that you have in front of you tonight. I hope you don't approve it, because you don't want this in your permanent record, because it does slander and libel these former employees. And what I don't know where the direction came from, because it certainly didn't come in public. And I believe that a Brown Act violation has occurred. What isn't in there are the answers to Mr. Erb's questions and what your board is going to do about his letter. I think you need a formal response to him. And as far as a disclaimer audit, he had not seen that before. He had to call somebody at the state to see if he could really take that. Did he, you know, he didn't know what to do with it. They haven't seen this before. So it's not a whole bunch of muckraking. This is serious and it's real. My personal concern is that your general manager, your president is in the paper saying, Ms. Tornatsky is saying, Pandora's saying, everyone's saying that next year the audit's going to be better. It's going to be better next year. Well, the documents that I've received prove that it will not be better next year, especially in particular with the compensated absences. And that report does not reflect the same data that Ms. Kivley's payroll has.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Next year is going to be as bad, maybe worse. What are you going to do about it now?
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay.
I think I covered this earlier, so I don't know. You know, my thoughts on the audit. And speaking of Mr. Erb, I think Mr. Erb he oversees over $500 million in county funds. This district has, what, maybe $5 million at the most or something? I don't know. It's the scale of his job and the importance of his decision making is very, very, very important. And I think when somebody with that expertise writes a critique of what's going on, I think that's more helpful than it is hurtful. So I think it should be taken as a piece of very good criticism. We're not operating with proper internal controls. The state auditor made that clear to me. The state is not going to intercede here. However, if you all got the PDF that I sent you about internal controls. And, you know, this is just basic accounting. If you become a CPA or an auditor, that's what you do. And if you're managing funds, that's what you're supposed to do. And that hasn't been accomplished yet. So I agree that probably this is an open-ended question, and I don't think you can say, okay, we're going to prove this and move on. I think, I don't know. Michael, are you going to have some independent forensic expert look over this, what happened with this audit, or are we just going to...
No. Okay, thanks.
First of all, 10 o'clock rolls around, and four of you hesitate to continue the meeting to talk about the item in the district right now, the item in the county dealing with Los Osos right now. And I'm sorry, but Mr. Erb is not just some accountant sitting in a little office down in Baywood doing people's monthly books. He's the auditor controller for the county. This isn't an amateur doing this. This is going to affect our ability to possibly borrow money from the county down the road. And you guys almost didn't approve continuing the meeting a little bit past 10 o'clock? Really? You should be going over every one of these items in here. And why does the president start the agenda item by deferring to Mr. Cicina? Why isn't staff... This is an agenda item. Why isn't staff giving the board the presentation before Mr. Cicina weighs in with his comments? I don't get it. I don't know what this loyalty thing is to keep this general manager and this accountant in this district at this point. They just produced a document that they gave you tonight. Julie talks about next year. You can't even produce a one-page document that's accurate just in addition and subtraction. Simple mathematical functions. We're not talking about calculating PERS or benefits. A simple report on the table. And then the budget and the financials that are given to you are missing line items? Really? The new software is in place. We put all this in. It's all working fine. It's not producing the document with all the information. And you guys don't even, you hesitate to even discuss this. This is going to be the downfall of this district if you don't get this addressed.
This is right. Next speaker, please.
It seems to me, I'm Jan Harper, Los Osos, that the reason Mr. Director Cicina was deferred to is because this was a consent agenda item G, and he pulled it.
Correct. Thank you. Okay, let's bring it back. Any board comments before we ask staff to weigh in?
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I would just say, you know, what ran through my mind when I hesitated to continue the meeting is, if things are important and it's late, people are staying up, and our brains are frazzled, and we're supposed to make important decisions, it's something we ought to consider. And I'm the youngest one here, I think. And sometimes the days get long, and I want to make sure that I'm at my best. Not always the case at this time of night, but I think this is the end, and I think it was worth going forward. But that was, to me, was a sign of, you know, I want to think clearly about this. Certainly not ignoring it.
I totally agree. That was my rationale, too, that it was too late to take something of this important time. So I agree with you 100%.
Okay, any other comments?
Yeah. We are talking about...
Microphone.
We'll turn it on.
Thank you.
We're talking about agenda item 11G, correct?
Correct.
Well, what I see on these several pages is, frankly, good work done by Mr. Doyle that uncovered errors or different steps that he might have done, that he went and did them, and actually the results turned out more correct. Mr. Doyle prepared information using that formula, which was provided by either Dale Flynn or Ampi Haber, and all of a sudden the formula was incorrect. Read these things. Read these things. Now, if you don't think this guy over here knows what he's doing, then you're going to throw him to the winds too, right? No.
No comments from the audience.
Look, I say we support the motion.
Okay. The comment I want to make is that in regards to the findings, the cause and the effect and the recommendations, everything is now implemented that's on this list. There's nothing that's not implemented. All these actions are now part of the process, corrective action. Right. Regard to the corrective action plan, that was a discussion I had with Mr. Erb, and he said that for a future audit, it'd be better to have a more definitive statement because he felt the other statements originally were too thin. So staff was directed to increase the narrative so that the future auditor has something to put his hands on. So that's where that came from. In that regard, I think I have no problem supporting these corrective actions. I think that it might be prudent to redact the names and just put in former accountant or temporary accountant before this is filed, and that is my recommendation.
I've been trying to find this information and I can't find it. So this letter here from the accountants Moss Levy and Hartsheim, what's the date of this? Because there's no date on this letter.
It came with the audit.
No, this is responding to the letter that's in our agenda package.
Right. It was when the auditors gave you the original letter, which would have been, you got the audit on September the 2nd. So that would have been like August 27th or something like that.
Is Mr. Erb's letter then subsequent to this?
No, before. It's before that.
Okay, that's what I'm just trying to...
Can we be quiet, please, in the back? I want...
This is the reason I wanted to continue the meeting.
Okay.
Can we start this over again, please?
Sure.
So the date of this is what?
The date of the original management letter, which I believe is August 27th. I'd have to go back and look for sure.
Okay, and Mr. Erb's letter then is subsequent to this.
Yes, it is. It's after that and prior to us giving the detailed information.
Okay.
Originally, all we provided was that it was implemented.
Thank you.
I just want to add, too, that Mr. Erb and the auditor both received this more detailed report, and we have not heard anything back from them to date that I know of.
No,
there's
we
been
have
no
not.
Comment from Mr. Erb, no comment from the auditor. So, well, but I'm talking about the responses. These responses that are on here are more detailed than the original responses. The bold is our responses to his letter.
Okay. Would they?
And so they.
Would they comment prior to our board taking a position on this?
This was basically Mr. Erb after the letter he sent, okay? And I had a conversation with him. He said he would like to have a larger detail.
I remember
that. For the future auditor to have something to put their teeth on. Okay, this is the product from that. And subsequent to that, this expanded explanation was sent to both Mr. Erb and to Mr. Geis, the auditor, and...
And that's part of my question. Should it have gone without the board approving it? I go back to the fact that there's a lot of throwing darts at people who previously had unqualified audits. There are things in here that talk about the previous accountant quitting abruptly. Well, there's a whole gray area around that. We, found out there were little settlement agreements that hadn't been brought to the board that the two, what really is the truth there? Did the previous accountant get driven out? I heard chased into the parking lot. So, I can't.
Okay, Mr. Ternowski.
I don't see a lot of blame here and pointing fingers. What I see is trying to figure out what happened when, and our current accounting talent fixing it. And this thing gets us on the right path to sanity, I believe. I really do.
Okay, Mr. Storm.
One of the things that came up at FAC, and I think maybe this goes to Vice President Ohilski's question, is this thing that we got put out tonight is our management discussion and analysis, which is not, we're not receiving and filing that. And that's a separate thing that was supposed to go with the audit and that didn't come with these expanded answers. And so that was one of the things we asked for to have available tonight, even though we're not doing whatever receiving and filing is.
Okay, so now the action here is to receive and file so I'm entertaining motions. I do not want to stay here past 11, so please.
Can I ask another question?
Please do.
I appreciate your comments. So the management discussion postdates everything. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. Predates, because the management discussion and analysis was completed, I believe, on October the 5th, and it was your motion at your prior meeting was it was to republish the audit
right,
with the management discussion and analysis, and you would receive and file the audit accordingly. And so that was done at your September 2nd meeting, because the auditor stated at that meeting that we could do the management discussion and analysis.
This may have you may have hit on my problem here. I was not at that meeting, so there's now I understand why there's a gap in my information.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Storm, we'd like to expand on.
So, what we did at that meeting was we accepted the audit subject to receiving the management letter, which I guess got taken literally in this case because we received it in email, but it's not in our board packet, and it wasn't in the finance committee packet, and that's where my confusion about what receive and file meant. If it had any significance, I think that it was, which I got to tell you, I'm missing on that, but and it's not part of this, so I'm not sure what we're doing with this without that, and it's not on the agenda, and it's just, I'm confused. So.
Well, okay. The motion you made was you would accept the audit with the management report completed. Okay. Staff completed the management report. Okay. And it was sent to us, and it was that deemed the motion that you made complete.
I appreciate that point. I see that, and I just, I guess I wasn't expecting it that we would get it here and it would be made public, and I think that's what came up at the FAC.
True. Okay.
And so I'm glad that it's been made available here.
Okay. But getting back to the detailed findings of the fiscal report.
Let me ask this question. Can we append that, or is it just we can't do that because it wasn't part of the packet? I mean, if we're going to receive and file, you know, to me, I'm appreciative to receive more information about all this. I think more information is good, and I understand it's sensitive, and, you know, I understand, Mr. Erb, the concern about pointing to the past, but I, from my point of view, I like to hear where everybody's coming from, and I want to know what the point of view is, so I'm happy to accept that information. Having said that, my question is, can we append this? We can't do that. Okay.
No,
we can't.
You're talking about appending the findings?
The management letter, I think, is what he's trying to append.
You're going from the management letter to the findings, and they're two different things.
Well, but to me, it's all part of the audit. So.
Well, it is, but please, can we have some quiet back there, please? It's really disturbing, folks, when you have to talk, okay? Thank you. So now, you know, the management letter, that's a separate item. It's part of what the last motion was last meeting. What we have before us is the detailed findings, strictly. We have to deal with that. Question, Mr. Trinowski.
I'd just like you to go to page 3. And it's cause, district oversight and staff, turnover, effect, recommendation. Then there's a long paragraph that reflects a dialogue and actually conversations and actions taken and a decision made about where we're going to go a different way that's more valid than what was done 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whenever the hell it was. This is basically a summary of actions taken and analyses done.
Correct.
And let's save it. Because it sort of put these things all on the right side of accounting gods.
Well, I agree with you as far as, you know, the dialogue in there, but I still have a problem with assigning names, first person names. I don't see why it can't be adjusted to reflect prior accountant or prior temporary accountant.
Call them A and B.
Call whatever we do. That's why I like my comment on that. So I'm still looking for a motion.
Can we receive and file without having had the management discussion and analysis in front of the board? We asked for it to be brought back to us so that we could approve the entire package. It was sent to us all individually by email. It's not been agendized and discussed in front of the public. Can we do that?
Well, that's a question for legal.
Well, the minutes from the meeting in which the motion was made reads as follows. A motion was made by Director Storm to receive and file the fiscal year 2013-14 audit report contingent upon receiving the management discussion and analysis within 60 days. The motion was seconded by Director Tarnowski and carried with the following vote, and it was unanimous, except for Director Uhlsky was not present.
See, and I think asking me what I meant by the motion, we all voted for it, so at that point, what I intended by it kind of becomes irrelevant. But anyway.
Yeah, and it was provided to us, and it has also been provided within the 60 days. It's on the website with the audit, and when there's copies here. So it is out in the public. And we received it first. So it's not like there was no motion to bring back the management report separately. It was contingent upon. That was the motion.
That's what I thought.
Well, that was the motion. We just heard it.
Okay, I wish we'd have had a discussion on the first copy that I received because it was totally erroneous. Again, simple addition, subtraction that wasn't done properly, and it was not labeled draft. It was sent to Mr. Erb without even being labeled draft. But that gets back to the problem that we're continually having.
Okay. And we circle back around on this thing. So let's... Fisher Cub Bait, gentlemen.
Can I try a motion?
Sure.
Okay. What's being requested is that we move the board receive and file the revised audit findings, blah, blah, blah. I would suggest we take these 5 or 6 pages of findings and leave Mr. Doyle's name in it, but take out the other two names that are in there, or call them A or B, and it's lost to history who they are. But we have a record that is valid going forward. It doesn't cast aspersions on AMPI, who was here for many years and made many contributions.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a second on that?
I'm not sure what good that does to, I mean, the cat's out of the, kind of out of the bag on this, but I think where I'm going to come down on this is I'm going to separate the two things in my mind, even though I'm going to hope that in the future that I understand better about receiving and filing, but if that's all we're really doing here, I guess I'll go ahead and second that. But I don't know. I mean, just for the sake of doing it, but I will just comment briefly. The names of, we already put the names in there. It's not that hard to figure out what it was.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll have a vote.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
No way.
Vice President Ohilski?
I'm going to abstain because I was not at the September meeting and I just don't have adequate background on this.
President Wright?
Yes. Okay, with that closes out and move on to number 14. Any future agenda items, board members? You'd like to see anything in particular? We are doing the mid-year is going to be coming up, and that's the direction of all the committees also.
You're also doing the policies, the policy review of the public.
You're right.
Public
correct.
Documents.
Correct. I believe that's all that we need at this point. Okay, so with that, our next meeting date is what date?
December 3rd.
Here. Okay. And with that, any board closing comments? Mr. Storm.
I like the league's presentation, and, you know, it's going to, I feel like, you know, those who live in glass houses ought to throw stones, so I don't know how much I should say about this. I have a hot temper. I always have. Ask my mom. But I think it was a good thing. With respect to the finances, I know it's contentious, but again, we have to take this, if we're going to take anything seriously, we have to take this seriously. And so doing that doesn't mean it's not about blame. It's just we're the board. We're put here primarily for the purposes of getting our eyes on things and seeing what they say. So we should. No one should have any shame about doing that. And otherwise, I'm. I guess that I'll just say with that. Thanks everybody for staying late, and have a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Sasania.
I'm glad we're back on track toward monthly meetings. I think that it just helps things. We'll be able to provide continuity, keep threads going, not have to try and reconstruct what happened 3 months ago. Director Storm, you did a masterful job running the Finance Committee meeting the other night. Thanks to everyone who shows up and cares.
Mr. Tarnowski.
I thought the League of Women Voters presentation was inspiring, and I'm glad all the board members endorsed it. I also saw the back and forth of our interaction here falling back into something that was really kind of crummy. People prefacing their comments with some slam for the manager or the directors or whomever. You know?
Hey, please. Do you have to talk, for God's sake?
He called me a son of a bitch on the last agenda.
Oh, quiet.
Well, I walked away from the mic.
Quiet.
He's got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there. So much for that. Well, Richard.
Son of a bitch. That's a good.
Richard.
Good board member.
I didn't do that.
The rest of you, also, please be quiet. Thank you. Mr. Hilsky.
Thanks for that.
you can calm the waters.
Shoot.
Only if you've got whiskey.
I don't know. I wanted to piggyback on what was said before us. I think that the presentation by League of Women Voters was very, very good. I had seen it once before, quite frankly. It's the second time I saw it, but after seeing it once and seeing it again, you start to, you see different things than you do the first time. So I saw a little bit of different things, but I think it's something that everybody can learn from, not just us up here, but the people in the community. And if that helps us to get better, more widespread community participation and input into the process here, I think it would be really, really helpful. So that's where I see this League of Women Voters things going. So I'd like to thank everybody for their participation, too.
Okay. And I just want to thank the League also for coming. I think it's important to start the dialogue. I think that, we have our differences, but we can still work together for the community. Also, I think when Richard made this statement about Phil, I have to second that. I think that he's been an outstanding fire chief. We've got probably the best station in the county. With him, we'll have to put some pressure on Chief Lewin to make sure his replacement is as good, if not better. And I think Phil must have started when he was fighting fires when he was 14 because he's so young to retire. So, but anyway, thank you for participating, and thank you, and good night.